You gotta put it in perspective.
Good to see you, man. Is it hot in here? I feel hot. Are you guys hot? How you guys doing? I'm good. You guys got any snacks?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what? I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
See where her head's at? Follow her lead. That was amazing.
Chapter 1, the new beginning of the book. There have been many great comebacks throughout history. Jesus was dead, but then came back as an all-powerful God zombie. Ryan O'Neal had his ups and downs, but is now back and better than ever. Well, my comeback is almost complete, and I can say that when it is complete, it will shake the pillars of this land or town. My story is the story of a raging Christ figure who tore himself off the cross and looked at the Romans with blood in his eyes and said,
"And now,
just hand me something that looks like a sandwich and I'll put it in my mouth."
Our feature presentation.
Why would I say anything like that?
Drunk?
How dare you?
Horny? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
How was your weekend?
It was very busy. I had a family thing yesterday, a girls' afternoon the day before, mm-hmm. and what I learned from that is if you start drinking wine at noon, mm-hmm. you're screwed for the rest of the day.
So maybe start a little later?
Maybe a little 6 later.
6 p.m., 7 p.m.?
Mm. Might be better. Maybe. Yeah.
What bad movie did you and the girls go to like you do?
We didn't go to a movie. We just ate and drank and...
So surprised.
You know,
me too.
Hey, wow. You know.
Usually they pick the worst movie and then they all go together.
Yeah, we
and
do
then
that
they all
often.
They all end up hating it, but they'll still go.
Well, I'm cool. My next girls movie is Hunger Games.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
That's awesome.
That looks
right?
good.
That's a good choice. All right. Because it may affect many other people, or is it already open now? We don't have to worry about Beer Mug's little freeway problem?
I think it's open, but let me double check right
now.
Good
man, okay. By the way.
Beer Mug barely showed up today, by the way.
Is that right? Yeah. Didn't he sleep in Friday?
He just got here about 5 minutes before you did, Kevin.
What?
They have full closures for the 405 overnight.
Uh-huh. For
and
what?
It's supposed to reopen at 5. Yeah. But he leaves at 4:45,
right.
So he couldn't get on the 405 at all this morning.
Sweet.
I think
it's open now.
Okay. That's the kind of dedication to traffic that we expect on this program.
That's good.
Yeah, it might be open, might
I'm
not be.
I'm trying to find it. Hang on.
What the hell do I know? What do I look like? Your traffic person?
Lisa is perhaps the least useful traffic person I've ever heard.
True.
It is true.
Yep, it's open.
It's open, all right.
All right, so does Muggs need to adjust his schedule for the rest of the week, or how long is this closure going to be happening?
Oh, these closures usually happen for 6 to 8 years.
They were talking about it over the weekend, and it sounded like it was continuing into the week, but I will do a little research and let you know later this
Get
morning.
Get back to us.
Yes.
Make sure to let Beer Mug know. Not that it'll make any difference, but...
Right. He just shows up whenever he shows up.
Right.
1/3 of young women would trade intelligence for bigger breasts, a new survey says. I'm fine with that. I don't think that's a terrible choice. Do you? I mean, what's the problem there? The UK website My Voucher Codes, which apparently is some sort of a coupon website, asked 1,100 18 to 25-year-old women if they would trade their IQs for bigger breasts. Now, they don't say how much of your IQ, at least in this article. I mean,
or
it makes
how
a big
much
difference.
Bigger breasts.
Or how much bigger breasts, mm-hmm. right. It makes a big difference if you're giving up 10 IQ points versus 50, right?
Yeah, right.
1/3 of respondents said they would. 41% of women said they would rather have bigger breasts than a high IQ.
Think
about that for a second.
Knockers.
Yeah. 41% of women said they would rather have bigger breasts than a high IQ. What does that say about the world, guys?
Well, I mean, it's
that
just...
how you look is still as or more important than
and it's,
what you got going on
it's
in
the
your
way
brain.
It is, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth of the matter is if you're a good-looking woman, that opens way more doors for you mm-hmm. than
right.
being smart.
And if you're good-looking and smart...
Yeah.
Wow.
But don't you think the quality of your life is tremendously enhanced by being intelligent? Or no?
I do.
I would think
but
so.
But it depends on how smart you're talking
no.
to.
No. See, here's the thing about that. I don't want to be that smart because I like my life. I'm enjoying myself. I have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I love my family. So I'm having a great time. If I were smarter, maybe I wouldn't be so happy.
You'd be more like Bean.
Yeah, I'd be like Bean.
You think too much.
And I'd be trying
just
to tell people.
Praying for sweet death.
Yeah, pray for sweet death, trying to make sure everybody uses the right grammar, all that stuff.
Right.
I don't need that.
That's a good point.
I don't like any movies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm too hard on movies, so I rarely enjoy one. I enjoy dumb.
44% of the 44% of the respondents said they would rather have a slim figure than high intelligence. 29% said being slim would make them feel more confident. And it just goes on and on and on. 57% of the women said they thought men would be more interested in them romantically if they had bigger breasts. Yeah.
Of course.
59% said they thought when looking for a relationship, men valued the appearance of a woman more so than her intelligence. I don't know that I could be one of those guys who dated a super hot, dumb chick. I just think I would tire of that in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, those are the girls you date. Those aren't the girls you stick with.
But I couldn't date a woman like that.
Yeah, but date. Go out with once.
Well, maybe once.
The question is on the scale of smart to dumb, what we're talking about. That's always the issue. Like, if you're brilliant, but you're gigantic, that's probably not a good trade-off.
But if your IQ is 90 and you look pretty good, I'd hold on to those IQ points.
I agree.
Anyway, and finally, 79% of the women surveyed felt they were judged more by their appearance than by their intelligence, which means that 21% don't know what's going on in the world, I guess.
But, they're too dumb. But really hot.
That's 18 to 25-year-old women talking there. So keep up the good work.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What's up with the womanly tone?
I have no womanly tone. I think I don't. We're still giving away tickets for our April Foolishness, so we got that.
How about that? Yes. That's sold out. You can't buy tickets to that.
That's right. It's sold out, and you can't buy tickets. Both are true. But we're still going to give you tickets, so keep listening for your chance to win. House Party's Gone Wrong. I don't know if you saw Kevin's Project X over the weekend.
I did not. But I heard you were very good at it, though.
Is that right, Bean? You didn't go.
Did you?
I thought about going. I did consider going.
I know. You told us that all day Friday.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't make it out of the house.
Right.
That's
so different.
Make it out of the house.
That's so different because normally when you say you're interested in going to see a movie, you go. Oh wait, that never happens.
Sometimes I do go out though. This particular weekend, I did not leave the house. I cleaned out the barn. I had a lot of chores to do.
You cleaned out the barn a lot. Is that code?
No. It's, all right. You actually have to clean out a barn when you have animals living in it.
I see. Okay. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Beer Mug was on – I'm sorry. Let me go back to Project X. Beer Mug was on the red carpet for Project X.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And was spectacular.
Fantastic.
And as you may know, if you've seen the movie, there's no real stars in it. You don't really recognize anyone.
Mm-hmm. That would make a tough red carpet assignment. Yes. I mean, I would have trouble interviewing the stars of that movie.
You would. I would. You know who would not? Beer Mug. So we got those for you coming up. I'm very excited about that.
Beer Mug has plenty to say to everyone because nothing that he has to say relates to anything the person is interested in talking about.
It's irrelevant to everything else.
That's right.
So it doesn't mean you can put anyone in front of him. He can do the same interview. Tell me about you. We have Bean's Death Corner. Got a brand new one of those coming.
Okay.
And we have NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon in the studio today.
Awesome.
How about that?
How about this dude who's earned over $100 million driving a car? How about that dude?
Really?
Guess that'd be all right.
Oh, he's one of the biggest of all time. I think he's third in the all-time NASCAR wins. I mean, that's a skill, I'll tell you.
The rest of us, we all drive cars as well. But
yes, we do.
But it's a sliding scale of how much we've had to pay through the years for the damage we've done.
Yep.
There's no earning $100 million for any of us. So anyway, that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Thanks for tuning in on a Monday. Ralph Garman's taking the day off today. He says, in quotes, he's sick, in quotes.
You never believe anybody.
No, he doesn't.
Ever. It's terrible to call in sick on this show because you don't stop hearing about it for a week from Bean.
That's true.
I just know that, look, everybody wakes up, especially on a Monday morning after a big weekend, and goes, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Do I have to go to work? Nope, I can call in sick. Everybody has that thought. I'm
right,
just saying. That's why it's suspect.
But it,
you're suspect.
But here's the thing. Ralph rarely calls in sick for real.
Right.
And he's worked many days when he shouldn't have been here. So I don't have any question about him.
Really?
No.
I think it's about 50. I could go either way on
You're
this.
You're high.
I think it's 51-49 he's not sick.
You
That's
are
what I
crazy.
Say. Hey, he's going to be sad that he's not here, though, because there's hot chicks naked in the news. Olivia Munn, latest celebrity to fall victim to phone hackers, according to TMZ.com. A bunch of photos Some definitely her, with her face on it. That in fact, some of the photos she has already previously tweeted of her in lingerie and things like that. And then mixed in with those photos are a bunch of naked photos with a body that looks remarkably like hers, but TMZ says they are fake, that they're not Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
What?
This is going around over the weekend, and, you know, I did some research.
I bet you did.
For the show. What conclusion did you draw to?
For the show. Yeah, the ones that are nude that don't show her face, come on. I mean, that's a big red flag. If it's her,
right.
And she's nude, you'll see that it's her.
Yeah.
If her head's not shown...
There are people who are willing to send you naked photos but won't put their face in the photos because that's more incriminating if it comes back around at them.
I don't know. I didn't buy it, but having said that, they were pretty good.
They're still worth looking at.
Yes.
How about the Christina Hendricks naked photos? Same deal.
Same deal.
Some of those with the booby ones, no face, and then the other ones in the lingerie, looks like it's definitely her, right?
Right, yeah.
So that's good timing right ahead of Mad Men coming back. People maybe were on the fence as whether they want to start watching Mad Men's new season in a couple of weeks.
I'm watching after my weekend of checking it out.
Now that you see what Christina Hendricks looks like topless, it may be worth tuning into that show.
Yes. People with money don't necessarily have it easier all the time. Adele has said that she has an $11 million mansion.
Dude.
$11 million.
Yeah, she hasn't actually been famous that long.
And that's off of two albums, yeah. $11 million mansion.
She has in England, she's been, you know, super famous.
Oh, okay.
Only two albums. I mean, she hasn't been around that long.
Well, she is also, by the way, that house, the $11 million house, is on 25 acres of property.
Nice.
But she doesn't like to stay there by herself because she thinks it's haunted. She hears noises. So... A single girl. She's single, right, Bean, as far as we know?
Adele is. Well, she has a boyfriend now, but yeah, she's not married.
She does not like to spend time in her mansion. She will not stay there by herself because she's afraid that it's actually haunted.
Well, that is a waste of time and money.
Yes, so she'll hire a female security guard at times to spend the night with her. Just so that somebody else is there and can help in case... Like, I don't know what a security guard's going to do if it's haunted.
Right.
You know? You pull a gun. What does that do on a ghost? But Adele, that's her thing. She'll watch it.
Aww.
I mean, she'll stay there, but not really by herself.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a lot of talk about this singer, Adele.
Right.
Talented, but everybody knows she's fat, right?
Oh, that's not even a thing here. Come on. Here's a bizarre story. Do you guys remember that comedian slash impressionist who did George Bush, standing next to George Bush at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2006? Do you remember that guy? He was really funny and looked a lot like President Bush.
I don't remember.
I don't either, but go ahead.
Well, he was on all the shows and got a tremendous amount of news acclaim from performing with the president and being very, very funny. He also did President Clinton. He also did Arnold Schwarzenegger. He did President Obama. I mean, this guy was a first-rate impressionist. Dropped dead over the weekend.
Wow.
48 years old. Once again, just like with the Andrew Breitbart story last week, natural causes. What's up with people dying in their 40s of natural causes? And they're all tangentially related to politics. I know it's an election year and all. And I'm not trying to say that there's anything sinister about this. But what's up with that?
I think my interest is pricked a little bit when you hear natural causes and they're under 60.
Yeah, definitely.
And they're tangentially related to politics. I really do think there's... a lot there.
It does make you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very possible.
So, but if you saw pictures of this guy, he really did a great job. I mean, imagine one guy being able to look a lot like President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama. I mean, that's a good impersonator. But 48 years old, he died. He was, you know, one of the most famous of these kinds of guys. He was making the big money, doing commercials, the whole deal. 48 years old. Tough one.
No kidding. Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, has been snagged by Oprah Winfrey. She's going to do an interview with her, I guess.
Oh, wow. I thought you said snagged. I thought you meant adopted.
I did too. Kidnapped.
She doesn't really have kids that I know of. Oprah.
Oprah doesn't.
Saturday, March 10th, apparently, on the Oprah Network. And she's going to talk to her about everything that's going on. I'm surprised she would do an interview.
Bobby Christina would?
Yeah,
because she's been so, like, she was hospitalized. She's so upset.
Right.
And
what do you have to say, really? Everybody knows the story. Everybody knows it's a tragedy. And
probably more about her memories of her mom
how
and
you
growing
feel?
Up and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Because we really don't know what her life has been like with her mom.
Yeah.
Right. But will Oprah, I mean, this is a tough
eat her?
Question for Oprah. Will Oprah press her on her mom's drug use, or is it still too soon after a kid has just lost her mother to even discuss that?
I don't know. I don't know, but that's a good question. Oprah's not really known for the hard-hitting interviews. So I would doubt it. Yeah. But there was, yeah, but her partying with her mom and all that kind of stuff,
right.
I don't know.
Mm. Weekend hot movies at the box office, since it is Monday, The Lorax just blew everyone away with $73 million.
Wow!
The biggest opener of 2012, highest grossing weekend ever for a film from a Dr. Seuss book. Did way better than expected, about 20% over estimate. $73 million for this animated kids movie, which is that's huge box office.
Yeah.
Kevin's Project X came in right behind that at number two with $20.5 million. We'll hear Beer Mug's interviews from the red carpet. Beer Mug, did you bring up to anybody that Kevin was in the movie? Did that come up in the question?
Oh, constantly. Wait, you'll hear. You'll hear.
Okay. Act of Valor, the Navy SEALs film at number three, then Safe House, Tyler Perry's Good Deeds, tied with The Journey to Mysterious Island, then The Vow, This Means War, Ghost Rider, and for the first time that I can ever remember, The Artist in the top 10. Obviously, based on a lot of people seeing the Academy Awards last weekend, they went out to see the film. It made $4 million coming in at number 10.
Oh,
this
wasn't
past
in the top 10 ever?
I don't remember it ever being in the top 10, do you?
Mm-mm.
Well, I wasn't paying attention, but that's a shock to me with all the talk. You know, around Academy Awards, I would have figured that that would have skyrocketed.
Some people have an issue because it's black and white.
Yeah.
And
silent.
Silent.
Yeah. What do you think of those people, Kevin?
They're right. They're smart people. Willow Smith apparently is turning out to be a problem teenager. Oh, wait, she's not a teenager yet. She's only 11.
But, what could she be doing?
This is Will Smith's daughter that whips her hair back and forth. She's hanging out with a 20-year-old rapper, Tyler, the Creator.
Oh, that dude's trouble.
Yeah. He's been arrested.
He's trouble.
He's been arrested a couple of times. And
oh, man.
Willow's getting in with the wrong crowd at 11.
Wow. Yep.
So, good times for the Smith household.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Jake Lloyd. Do you remember the name? He was the young star of Star Wars Episode I, Phantom Menace. He played the young Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got rave reviews.
He's 23 years old today. He sure did. Did he ever act again? Was he ever even another movie after that?
I don't know.
Was he blacklisted for life?
I don't know.
One of my all-time favorite supermodels, the beautiful Nikki Taylor, turns 37 years old today. One of my all-time favorite actresses, Eva Mendez, also turns 37 years old today. Kevin Connolly from Entourage is 38 today. Laker coach Mike Brown, 42. Guitarist John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, also 42 today. And Penn Jillette, who's so unbelievably likable on Celebrity Apprentice this season. Just an all-around great guy. One of the smartest people we know, a frequent guest of the Kevin Meacher. Happy birthday, Penn. He is 57, and that's the show business. Music from Beck coming up later this hour. Also some Bush. Plus, we got some highlights from Lindsay Lohan. Well, at least from the monologue of Saturday Night Live. The show pretty much fell off after that. From her appearance this past week. And the fourth time she's hosted SNL, by the way. Look at all the people out there who have hosted it. They've given it to Lindsay Lohan, a woman of questionable talent, four times. Anyway, we got that coming up for you. Also, NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon in studio with us next hour, and an all-new Beans Death Corner coming up, too.
Project X opened over this weekend and came in number two, and Beer Mug went to the red carpet of this. Now, he was going to get some interviews, and it's kind of a I'll give it to you up front, Beer Mug. It's kind of a difficult gig in that there are no stars.
Right. Mm.
You don't really know who you're going to interview, and when they sit down, if they're not a star, they haven't done anything else, then you don't know what to say to them.
It's tough.
Not for you, but it is for everyone else.
I would think it would even be tough for Muggs, because part of what he does on the red carpet and in these interview situations is he confuses what the people have actually done with who they are.
That's right. True.
So he doesn't have Kool in the Gang coming by for him to sing Casey and the Sunshine Band songs at.
That's true. That's a good point. He checks first to make sure that the equipment is working.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's, Yep, uh-huh. Check, 1-2.
Yeah, so he's got that going.
It's always important to check the equipment.
What kind of check is that?
I was looking at the visual monitor. Mm. Make sure it doesn't clip.
He sits down with 13-year-old Dylan Sprayberry.
Okay.
Kid's 13. 13 years old, okay? He's not one of the major parts of the movie, either. Mm-hmm. He's not one of the four guys that are throwing the party. He's kind of a side actor. So then Beer Mug sits down with him.
All right. I'm here with Dylan Sprayberry. And I'm thinking, Dylan, not many people have heard of you before. Could you tell me what you got going on?
What you got going on?
Uh-huh.
That's the most general question ever. And not a lot of people have heard of you.
Have you worked in the past in something that maybe we've seen?
I don't think he was even in Project X. I think he's coming up in a...
oh, I see.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
because I saw his face and I didn't remember him.
He was promoting Man of Steel, which I think is the movie coming
out. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I've never,
Superman.
Yeah, Superman. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of him.
Okay, so you sit down and you say what you got going on.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no answer to that because, I mean, what does the guy say? What does the guy say to that question?
He can say anything, Kevin, if he's good enough. He can say anything
he's
he wants
13.
To. Yeah.
I'm saying a little direction. Basically, you're just going talk.
I'm giving him a form to do free form conversation.
Okay. Now, remember he's 13 when you hear this question, Bean.
Were you a fan of Superman in your earlier youth?
I was always a fan of Superman, you know.
He's 13. He's 13 and Muggs wants to know about his earlier youth. Are you kidding? He's only had 12 years before that.
Yeah, that's 12 years where he could have been a fan of Superman.
Were you a fan of Superman in your earlier youth?
I was always a fan of Superman, you know.
See, and he was kind enough to answer the question.
All right, so now, again, remembering that Beer Mug is talking to a 13-year-old. Here we go.
I wish I had your mentality when I was 13 because, I would be, you know, just larger than life like yourself. And you know what? Like, when you're 21, hit me up. We'll go hit the bars. We'll go.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know about, you know, drinking, but yeah, I'll think about it.
We can do something else.
A few years, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That couldn't sound any creepier.
Yeah,
I wasn't hitting
on. Talk to this 13-year-old about drinking, and then he says, I'm not sure about drinking. You're like, we could do something else.
We could do something else.
Well, I wasn't clear enough, but what I meant was is that when he turns 21, we go to the bars and pick up chicks, because he's a good-looking kid, and I could use his help.
What's this mentality that you're...
years from now.
I can wait, Kevin. I can wait.
What's this mentality you're so envious of this 13-year-old, by the way?
He was spry and just... when I was 13, I was fat
spry.
And playing video games.
Spry.
He was spry.
13.
How's that? How do you...
Oh, the wrong choice of words?
It's just so funny to hear Muggs because, like, the guy is 8 years from now. If he gets a hold of you, you're going to be on Skid Row, let's be honest.
No.
And you're not going to even have a phone. He's going to walk by and say, hey, let's go out and drink. Remember that one time 8 years ago when you interviewed me?
And he'll be like, yes, let's roll.
He's going to walk into whatever Office Depot you're working at, and he's going to say, I think you talked to me on the red carpet 8 years ago.
I mean, I'm going to be working at Staples, okay?
So then...
We can do something else.
We
you don't want to drink, we can do something else.
I'm not sure about van. Drinking. We could do something else. I'm buzzed. Now, the new those of you that saw the movie, this is the guy from New York that was kind of pushing the whole party. We can fix it. We can fix it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. He's that guy, and he sits down. His name is Oliver Cooper, and he sits down with Muggs.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know.
Okay, so far, so good. Right? So far, so good. He's talking to the guy, and he wants to ask him a question about acting. But he doesn't know that at the beginning of the question. He just starts rambling. That's what I love about Beer Mug, is he just starts rambling, and he hopes that he's going to end up with a question at the end, but he's not sure what it's going to be or where it's going.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know, to get into acting, but, like, I've always been intrigued by watching actors act. And did you have to kind of break away from your normal character, like your personality, to do this, or is it kind of natural?
Okay, I'm
so
confused.
So that happened.
What happened
that
there?
That question happened. He's asking the guy, in effect, he's asking the guy if he can just be himself, or when he acts, does he have to try and act like someone else?
Which is, of course, the definition of acting.
Correct. That's the very definition of acting. I'd like to hear that one again. That was strong. That was good.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know, to get into acting, but, like, I've always been intrigued by watching actors act. And did you have to kind of break away from your normal character, like your personality, to do this, or is it kind of natural?
Okay, now I understand.
Dude. Look, Muggs has admitted in the past that he literally doesn't know where the question is going when he's
correct.
Talking. He's already talking when he has to form whatever the question's going to be. So it's a miracle that doesn't happen more often.
He uses a lot of words as stall tactics.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's trying to figure out what he's going to say.
You didn't tell anybody you used to be a drummer?
Oh, he did, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
When he got to Kid Cudi. I'm not sure we're going to have time for that right now. He talked to the fat kid in the movie, who is one of the main four, Jonathan Daniel Brown.
All right, I'm here with Jonathan Daniel Brown. Is that...
That's it.
I got it.
What's up, K-Rock?
you know what? I'm not going to lie. This is the first time I've seen you, heard of you.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
Okay.
I'm going to let him down
by
easy.
Way, butter him up with compliments.
Look, here's the thing. When you're interviewing people, you don't have to have met them. It's okay to interview someone that you haven't met. You don't have to, like, full disclosure. You don't have to say, I'm not going to lie. Because he did this like 3 or 4 times, Bean. Because I'm a man of truth. So I don't know you. He has to start with. Why? I have no idea why.
Now, Jonathan, let me ask you a question.
Yes, there it is. Let me ask you a question.
Project X, if you could sum it up in less than 5 words for people who have no idea what the movie's about, what can you say?
Now, here's my question. Why does he have to summarize it in less than 5 words? Why the limit?
What kind of time schedule is Muggs on?
Why the limit? Why don't you just say, for people who aren't familiar with the movie, what happens? Why do you have to say 5? Who can?
I thought it'd be short and concise.
5
enough.
Words.
Yeah.
He would have to sit there and think and go, house party, disaster gone wrong.
So Kevin, I make it challenging for the interviewee.
But why? What's the reason behind? Why give him only 5 words?
I thought that would be interesting, you know, creative, but I don't know.
Yeah. Then he sits down. Oh, we're out of time. Shoot. Then
he sits down.
Is this going to be another 6-parter?
You want to hear some Kid Cudi?
Yes, I do.
Of Muggs with Kid Cudi?
Oh, yep. Right. I am here with the one, the only Kid Cudi and Dr. Genius. I got to start off by saying Man on the Moon is one of my favorite albums. I'm not bullshit. I'm not blowing smoke up your
Okay, now here we go again, where Muggs has to make sure that they know he's a truth teller. He doesn't lie.
Every time I'm in like a kind of like a down mood or feeling good even, I throw that on, everything goes out the window.
Okay, what does that mean? What literally, what does that mean?
When you're feeling good, it goes out the window?
I think I meant all my emotions and all my cares in the world just go out the window.
But whether you're upset.
Troubles, yeah.
Whether you're upset or feeling good.
Good.
That covers every mood that's possible.
If you're feeling good, you put it on and the good feelings go out the window too?
Everything goes out the window, Bean.
You can be apathetic at times, but no, it's when you're feeling good and when you're feeling bad. The album works.
Every time I'm in like a kind of like a down mood or feeling good even, I throw that on.
And what happens?
Everything goes out the window.
I don't know what that means. And then I'm just going to tease you with this.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Okay, so that's
fantastic.
We need to take a break, but we're going to have a little bit later on this morning, we'll have some more Beer Mug interviews on the red carpet for Project X.
Can't wait.
But job well done.
Thank you.
Job well done. Everything goes out the window. That reminds me, you play drums, don't you?
I am a drummer.
Yeah, that's right. It's world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 27 minutes after 6.
Thanks to you, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012 is completely sold out. April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater, an all-star night of comedy, raising money for great local charities. We do, however, have tickets you can win coming up later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, the Afro line is on the air. You call us, leave a voicemail message for us. We play it back on the radio. It's 323-520-AFRO.
See if you can follow the comedy of this guy, of this genius.
Hey, that chick you guys had in, talking about surfing and skateboarding in documentaries, Stacy, she sounds a lot like a guy. You can only imagine. That must be an ugly broad, man.
See, because Stacy is a girl's name.
Yeah. Usually a girl's name, right.
So that's making fun of what he was playing on.
I see.
We did sell out April Foolishness. Thank you. The comedians all do it for free so that we can actually raise money for charity, which is a great thing. And we have the section right up front where the pit usually is. We have seats in there, and we call it the We're Better Than You section. Mm-hmm. And we're giving T-shirts to those people that were on the back of it. It says We're Better Than You so that everybody behind them can see it. Just as a way of being funny. This girl, very happy.
Foolishness! Woo! I'm going to April Foolishness! I'm better than you. I'm better than you.
Yes, you are.
She got the right attitude. Project X was on over this weekend. It just started on Friday, opened. And, you know, there's a little brief appearance by Kevin and Bean. Well, Kevin, really. Just me more. Bean, your name was in the credits, though. Which
I got cut, though.
I was surprised. Yeah. I was surprised either of our names were in the credits. It didn't make any sense to me. But this particular guy loved it.
So I decided to watch Project X. Absolutely amazing. Until I heard Kevin's bitch ass on the air. God damn it, Kevin!
By the way, I'm with that guy. It totally threw me off. I wanted to enjoy that movie. And then all of a sudden that happened.
Seacrest is in the same radio medley?
I didn't hear Seacrest. I heard
you
Big
didn't.
Boy. No, I heard,
oh.
I heard Big Boy.
Interesting. Okay.
So, anyway, yeah, it's just us talking about the house party. Here's a very, very important question.
Who the f*** is Glenda?
who the f*** is Glenda?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask Larry King.
Will Glenda be there?
We have no idea.
Larry King is one of our comedians, oddly enough, and that's the one of them that we're looking forward to figuring out what is he going to do. But when we were talking to him, he asked us if Glenda would be there, and we've not been able to figure out who Glenda is.
Will Glenda be there?
Or why he would ask that. Here's a theory.
Hey, I was listening to the podcast, and you guys were interviewing Larry King, and he said, is Glenda going to be there? And this is just a thought. I think he meant how Psycho Mike says, Glenda! Maybe he thought he's saying Glenda towards Lisa May. Who knows?
Yeah, no. I don't think that's it, because I'm guessing Larry King didn't hear any other part of our show ever.
Ever, yeah, exactly.
So our idea is that it's he was told there's a girl on the show. He was told it was Lisa, and he couldn't remember when it got to it. So he was just asking.
And Glenda's like a cool hip name in Larry's world.
Yeah, 1902.
Right.
Oh, Glendas are hot, gang.
Here's a theme song for the Garmy. Ralph Garman's fans.
We're fans of Ralph Garman. We wipe our competition like extra strength Charmin. So many impressions, you don't know who's who. But now I only got one thing to do. And it's to introduce you to the Garmy. Garmy, Garmy. Let's do a Garmy. Garmy, Garmy.
Wow.
I like it.
I wasn't aware Cannibal Corpse was listening to the show.
Hey, so I went to CVS the other day, and this duck was in front of me, and he went up to the cashier and put some chapstick down. And the cashier says, oh, will this be cash or credit? And the duck says, oh, I'll just put it on my bill.
Now, I got to tell you, lame joke.
Yeah.
Had his own rim shot.
He sure did. He was prepared to call.
That's pretty strong, I got to say.
I saw an ad in a magazine for Happily Divorced, Fran Drescher's new series, and the tagline was, the laugh is back. That's like hearing an ad for the Jersey Shore's next season and going, the herpes are back. Or if Kevin left radio for a while and he made a return, they would say, the command of the English language is back.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I can't even complete that sentence out loud.
How dare you, sir. And finally, we have this.
Hey, Omar, you asshole. Thanks for getting that song stuck in my head. I know that, too.
We did a contest called I Know That Dude last week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we played comedians. They would talk, and they would tell a joke, and then people would call up. And the name of the game was I Know That Dude, and Omar did the theme song, and apparently it was very catchy, and a lot of people were calling, complaining they couldn't get it out of their heads.
I know that dude was going to kick your ass.
No.
Yeah.
I know that dude.
Dude.
I know that dude.
Dude.
I know that dude.
Dude. The weird thing about this is we asked him for a theme song for I Know That Dude, and he did this song. Bean, there's still 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
What was going on with that?
I don't know. Usually they're 10 seconds or less. This is a full-length song.
I know that dude.
Dude.
I know that dude.
But at least it doesn't change.
That dude.
Dude.
I know that dude.
Dude. But then President Obama weighs in on Omar. I don't know if you heard this. Bean, you have that clip of President Obama talking about...
Yes, I wasn't quite ready for you to ask for that. But
oh, I got more of this then.
I know that dude.
Yeah, the president was asked, out of all the theme songs that that people do for our show, who does the best? And here's what he had to say.
It's got
to
be Omar, right? I mean, that guy's unbelievable, right?
Right.
That dude, I know that dude.
Bring it down.
Well, we've just put that in the heads of a few more thousand listeners today.
2 more minutes. How much do you want?
I think I'm done. Thanks. We're done. We're moving on past I Know That Dude. Thank you very much.
Okay, sorry.
Lindsay Lohan, hosting SNL over the weekend. A lot of people wondered how she was going to do. This is the beginning of her latest attempt to rebuild her image. You know, every time she's down, you think she's out, but she comes on back and, you know, gets in everybody's good graces, or at least gets people to start considering trusting her again before she falls off the wagon and ends up in prison. So it's funny because when I made a reference a few minutes ago to her being an actress of questionable talent, I got an email from Rob who says she doesn't have questionable talent. She makes questionable decisions. But I'm going to tell you, whatever was enchanting about her in the early days when she seemed like she had a great deal of promise as an actress back in the Mean Girls and Freaky Friday
days. I thought she was decent.
She was. She was really good.
Okay.
That's all gone.
All gone.
She can barely deliver a line now. And here's some highlights from her opening monologue, which was the best part of SNL. It was a terrible SNL this week. She did not help much, and they didn't give her very much to do. And I suspect that's because of her limited range. But there are some funny poking fun at herself in the monologue.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay Lohan.
I'm Lindsay Lohan, and I'm hosting Saturday Night Live. I know, right?
I mean, right there, that was an opportunity for a laugh. I know, right? Her delivery.
I know, right?
I mean, it just sounds like somebody who's never performed in front of an audience before.
I know, right?
Exactly.
I feel lucky and grateful to be here tonight, and that's why I really want to thank all of my friends at SNL who trusted me enough to have me back. You know, this studio feels like a home to me. Wait, so the alarm goes off if I leave the stage? I thought it was only if I left the studio. And I thought you guys trusted me.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Keenan.
Hey, so good to see you again.
No.
I forgot how beautiful your eyes are.
Thanks, Keenan.
Can I see them?
Okay.
Yeah, can I see your eyes, please?
And then he takes a flashlight and starts shining it into her eyes like he's looking for drugs. Very funny.
You know.
She's good.
Keenan, I should be checking your eyes.
Oh, I'll save you the trouble. I've been stoned since Good Burger.
I've been stoned since Good Burger. Funny. So then that Kristen Wiig comes out on stage and, you know, offers her some support and then starts hugging her.
Hey, Lindsay, you're doing a great job of hosting.
Thank you. You know, I do get the feeling that everybody thinks I'm going to screw something up.
No. Hey, look at me. Everybody here believes in you. Everyone. We wouldn't have you back otherwise.
Thanks, Kristen.
So now they're hugging.
Kristen, are you searching me? No.
Just patting her down.
I'm a lesbian now.
Been there, done that. Maybe it was too soon to come back.
What? What did you know, Lindsay? Look, you've been...
Now this is Jimmy Fallon jumping out on stage.
The new old Lindsay Lohan is back. Yeah. And listen to me. You're the same little girl who stole our hearts in The Parent Trap. I mean, you're the teenager who dazzled us in Mean Girls. You're the lady who absolutely blew us away in The Help.
I wasn't in The Help.
That wasn't you?
No.
That should have been you.
Thank you.
Anyway, look, the point is, everybody makes mistakes, but that doesn't mean you can't shake them off. I mean, you can do this, and if for any reason you can't, John Hamm's on standby as backup host.
And then they go to the audience, they show John Hamm in the audience, ready to go.
Just great.
And then he mouths, "I'm here if you need me." So that was the best part of it. There was one other sketch later on, a Disney princess sketch that was pretty funny. And Lindsay, you know, was the weakest link of that sketch. But the whole rest of the show was awful. I just saved you 90 minutes.
Wow.
Not having to watch that.
That was the highlight. That was the best it got.
That was the best it got. Yeah, it was sad. And look, I've seen a lot of people. Robert De Niro is a great actor. He's terrible when he hosts SNL because he doesn't look like he knows any of his lines. You can see him obviously reading the cue cards over the other actor's shoulders and stuff. And, you know, maybe I hope I'm not being too hard on Lindsay, but it just seemed like she was even worse than most of the hosts doing the show this
week. A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
But to her credit, we didn't hear any problems throughout the week. She was there for rehearsals. She was at the program on time. It went off, you know, without a hitch. They did get through the thing. It's not like she derailed it or didn't show up or went on a bender. So, you know, maybe it's a small step toward her being welcomed back into showbiz, because that's what she's trying to do with this, is prove that she's reliable and she can work so people will give her insurance and hire her.
It's a tentative step, though, if that's the best it got.
Exactly. Thanks for tuning in on a Monday. Ralph Garman taking the day off today. We are taking our turns filling in on the showbiz beat. In this hour, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Lisa May steps up to the microphone and says what?
Well, you know, Snooki's pregnant.
Oh,
so we
that
hear,
has
right?
not been confirmed, has it?
Well, no, I don't think it has been confirmed. But she hangs around with some really nice, delicate people. Her ex-boyfriend, Emilio Masella, doesn't think the world is ready for a Snooki spawn and told TMZ, not to be rude or anything, but he hopes she has a miscarriage.
Oh, wow. Wow, with friends like that.
Isn't that charming?
Oh, man.
Although he's right, nobody should say that out loud.
No,
right.
God,
you would
no.
never say that out
he
loud.
He says that Snooki has always been flippant about having kids, never really grasped the gravity of being pregnant, and that when he was with her, she said she wanted twins. She'd always say, let's have twins. That does sound
as
like Snooki.
As if that's possible?
Yeah.
To just decide?
Let's plan that.
Now, how does that work? Kevin, you should know. You have sex twice in the same night.
That's
how you
correct,
get twins,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have two different people. They look different.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Important. It's two different
people.
You know,
I wonder about this Snooki thing. I think you're right. She seems incredibly emotionally immature. Is having a baby another way of, hey, look at me? Because that's what she's all about with this show. It's, hey, look at me. If you get a baby, all of a sudden, you're the center of attention always, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think so, yeah.
That's bullshit.
So the Desperate Housewives trial is going forward.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually in court, and Nicolette Sharon apparently testified on Friday. And, you know, she claimed that the creator, Mark Cherry, smacked her or hit her or something like that. So she's suing. And then she says that he wrote her out of the show when she complained about it. So on Friday, this is a brutal trial. On Friday, Mark Cherry's lawyer claimed that Nicolette was never in the same category as the other stars.
Oh.
That she wasn't in the opening opening
montage.
Sequence, yeah,
sure,
with the other actors, and that it was no big deal to kill her off because she wasn't a part of the other group and not as high up as them, and that she was never nominated for an Emmy like the other
what
actors.
What does any of that have to do with him hitting her?
They're saying that her being written off was not a big deal, and it wasn't because of that. It's just because she's like,
doesn't want to be hit.
Not worth much.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I got you.
And then they're also questioning that in one of her statements, she said he slapped her. And another, she said he hit her. So her story's kind of changed. So she's going to be back on the stand today.
Wow.
Look, I don't know anything about anything. And I'm not trying to make any assumptions here. Mark Cherry doesn't look like a guy who's capable of hitting anyone.
I got to agree with you on that. And she looks kind of tough. I wouldn't really want to hit her.
Yeah. In a fight, I would say she would easily win.
Exactly. Arnold Schwarzenegger, we heard, was maybe getting back with Maria Shriver.
Yeah, they were talking about couples therapy or something.
And that she might be wearing the ring again.
Right.
But now there's a story, according to Star Magazine, that says he's back in the dating pool, that he was seen at a party recently hitting on model actress Estelle Warren.
Warren, come on. Mm.
And my thought was, that's just Arnold at a party. That doesn't mean he's not getting back together with Maria Shriver.
He would act like that regardless.
Yeah, there's no evidence there, so we still don't know what's going on with them.
That has to be at least a 25, maybe 30-year age difference, at least, right?
That would make me sick.
Can't blame
him
for trying,
Governor.
Though.
No, but come on. Come on.
And what's sad, though, is that he's rich enough and famous enough and iconic enough that he would have a chance with somebody like a Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah.
Because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's true. Ashton Kutcher visited Demi Moore, according to People magazine, since her hospital stay, but they're not getting back together. Apparently, he checked in with Demi because he knew it was important to her kids. Late last week, though, word was that she had checked out of rehab, and nobody knew where she went. But now, and this is according to E! News and possibly TMZ, but we'll find out later this morning, they're reporting that she's hiding out in the Caribbean. Since she checked out of rehab, that she's on the Turks and Caicos Island on a private beach that's being guarded by bodyguards.
Oh.
So she's there getting well. I'd be drinking, but that's just me.
I think it's great to hound someone and make sure that they don't have any privacy if they're trying to recover from rehab.
Oh, yeah. That's how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I have celebrity birthdays now.
Go ahead.
Penn Jillette is 57. Kevin Conley from Entourage is 38 now. Eva Mendes is 38. And Nikki Taylor, model Nikki Taylor, is 37 years old. And that's the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. And this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 4 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hit it,
yep.
Steve.
No, we're not gonna.
Where is Steve?
Steve is non-existent. Sorry,
we had a big intro planned.
We did.
For
we had a
Gordon.
Huge
That's
intro.
So disappointing.
It's going to be very exciting. Mm. It's going to be a lot of action.
Steve disappoints me. I got to be honest.
All kinds of stuff.
Steve's disappointing me, and I don't even know who Steve is.
Yeah, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't be more excited to welcome the 4-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, 85 career NASCAR victories, third on the all-time wins list. We got Jeff Gordon, number 24 himself.
Thank you very much.
Woo! He's racing in the Auto Club 400, which is coming up March 25th at noon in Fontana. Jeff, I don't think you're going to live to see March 25th. You were just telling us off the air about your schedule this week. This is insane, man.
This is an insane week. Not every week is quite this insane, but yeah, I came from Phoenix yesterday.
Bean said he saw you tweeting from Phoenix yesterday, and then you're going to come here today and be on our show in the morning at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, this is the part of what happens to help grow the sport,
right,
to help your sponsors.
But do you have to do it
team.
All? Is there no other spokesman?
Well, listen, my wife is the one doing it all because she's taking care of the kids,
okay.
And I heard they're teething and all this stuff. So she's got it much worse than I do.
All right.
After today,
what do you do?
So I leave here this afternoon. I fly back to Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll be in Orlando tomorrow for Pepsi, one of my sponsors,
okay.
And then
mm-hmm.
testing with the team in Nashville to get ready for some upcoming races, and then I'll be in Vegas on Thursday evening to get ready for the weekend race in Vegas.
Are they trying to kill you?
Lots of vitamins and
I mean, really, though, that's
sleep
crazy.
In between. Yeah, it is nuts. Now you mention it.
you should drive all those places, just chalk it up to practice.
I know. If I could just be in a race car everywhere I go, then I wouldn't need to go test on Wednesday.
Exactly.
I didn't want to interrupt, but what's it like for you driving on the streets?
You know, as long as it's not right after the race, I'm a very calm, cautious, safe driver. I have not gotten many tickets over the years.
But it's got to be super, super unbelievably boring compared to...
It is and it isn't. You know, I think everything with whatever the limits are of the road, then it has its challenges. You know,
yeah.
I when I'm just driving down the road, I want to make sure I'm in the right lane. I want to get to wherever I'm going in the most efficient amount of time that I can.
Yes, that's what I say when I speed.
Within the speed limit, you know, without breaking the rules.
Which you
is,
break the
which
rules.
Which is kind
you
of what
speed.
Happens on the racetrack. You,
you
know?
Speed.
You
have to speed.
If my wife was here right now, she'd say he is like a grandpa out there on the road.
It would be terrible to have him get in a car crash on
freeway. But if he's in the right lane going 55, I'm honking at him.
You know, I'm that kind of person that if you hung out with me, you'd say, this guy is a race car driver. I'm very calm and you know, I don't get really wound up about it. I think a lot of people think race car drivers are this thrill-seeking, jump off.
Testosterone fuel.
Yeah, and for me, that's just not the case. I love the competition, and I've been doing it since I was a kid. So, you know, I have no problem getting out in that car and going very fast. But if you
when
were
you
with
got
me
pulled
it,
over for speeding, though, Jeff, were you ever pulled over by somebody who recognized you?
I have one story years ago. It was probably 1995 or something like that. It was a long, long time ago when and that was probably my last speeding ticket, actually. And I was leaving the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I was in Charlotte, obviously, and heading to the airport, and I was in a hurry. And I had been signing autographs at the track. And, I mean, there's a big marquee out there, you know, come get Jeff Gordon's autograph, all these things. So I leave the racetrack. I'm running late for the airport, normal deal, doing, you know, 70 miles an hour in a, you know, 55 mile an hour zone. And I get pulled over and the guy, you know, he's writing me up, and I said, I tried to get out of it, of course, and I said, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but you know, my name back there, I was signing autographs. I'm Jeff Gordon, and right about that time, he finishes signing the ticket, he tears it off, and he says, "Oh, I know who you are. Have a nice day. I'm an Earnhardt fan." So that I think that taught me a lesson. Don't speed because you never know when you're going to run into an Earnhardt fan. But that came and actually came back to help me later because when Dale Earnhardt Jr. Signed up with Hendrick, I was on the phone with him.
That's your team.
Yes.
Right.
And so we're teammates now, and I'm on the phone with him, and I shouldn't have been driving and talking on the phone, right? And I get pulled over because I'm talking on the phone while I'm driving.
Right.
And that's the kind of silly things I get tickets for, is,
right.
You know, turning right on red when I'm not supposed to, that kind of thing. And so I used this to my advantage this time. I said, you know what? I really apologize for being on the phone. I said, you don't happen to be an Earnhardt fan, do you? And he said, well, yeah, I am. Why? And I just handed the phone to him.
Nice!
And,
awesome.
And so Dale Jr. got me out of that one.
Jeff, you made a mention too. You've been racing since you were a little kid, and I found this fascinating. I don't know of any 5-year-olds that have their parents' blessing to start racing cars, but that's how you came up. I mean, you're a guy who literally, before you started first grade, knew what you wanted to do for a living, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, all the kids I was racing with, that's what they did. You know, that's what their parents did. They got them into it at a young age. So it was very normal for me. Although, where I grew up in Vallejo, California, there were no other racers in my town. It's just that my stepfather grew up down the road near Napa, and he wanted to race as a kid and didn't get the opportunity. So with his stepchildren, he said, you know, I want to try to get them into racing.
It's funny because my first instinct is, you know, you'd have to wait till you were 16 to start.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I started racing professionally when I was 13. And so by the time I was 16, you know, I was kind of a veteran.
Oh my gosh.
Now, tell me about the kinds of cars or go-karts or whatever it is you were in at 5 years old. I mean, how fast could you go at that?
Yeah,
age?
I mean, like most people think of go-karts, you know, they think of going down to Scandia or, you know, to some go-kart place, you know, that has big metal bumpers all the way around. But for me, go-karts and quarter midgets were, you know, race cars designed, built just for racing, and there's tracks. And we race.
You race against midgets?
That's awesome. No, just what the cars are called.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's what the cars are called. And they're just miniature little race cars.
How fast did they go?
You know what? When I first started, they probably went 25 miles per hour, and they just kept creeping up. I mean, by the time I was 12, they were probably close to 70 miles per hour.
That's so funny. By the time you were 12, you were like an old hat at this. It was like, let's get back into the car now and see what
it
can do.
People don't think of California as a big, you know, hotbed for racing, but it really is. Even, you know, I mean, I raced in Pomona. I raced, you know, all over the entire state from the Bay Area to Southern California.
I raced from my home to here.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, just like with any professional sport, and you're listening to the voice of Jeff Gordon, number 24 here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana coming up March 25th. Tickets available through autoclubspeedway.com. We'll give some away in a few minutes, too. Just like any professional sport, though, Jeff, whether, you know, you play Little League baseball or high school basketball or whatever it is, the chances of being able to go pro in the sport of your passion are still so stacked against you. I mean, and it has to be equally tough to be a professional race car driver, to make a living doing it. Most people enter this and don't have anywhere near the kind of success that you guys do.
It's true. No, it's true. You got to have a lot of things, you know, line up at the right time. And I feel so fortunate. You know, racing has been so amazing to me. One thing kind of led to another. Every decision that we made, sometimes it looked bad, and then it turned into something good. And you know, it just was a domino effect. My stepfather, you know, he's very driven. He helped push me in the right ways to excel at something that I loved, and I think we just kind of made a good team, and it worked out for us. But yeah, there's so many kids out there that want it equally or as bad or more, and it doesn't work out for them.
And you're also kind of a victim of your success now that you're so well known. When people see you in 15th place, 20th place, do they go, hey, what's up with Jeff?
With Twitter these days. You know, I'm on Twitter, Jeff Gordon Webb, by the way, in case you don't know my Twitter handle. But it's crazy, you know.
They tweet you in the car? Hey, you're 20th. Come on. step on it.
Hey, step on it, dude.
If I'm Brad Keselowski, they do.
Yes. That was unbelievable. We got to talk about the Daytona 500 when we come back. But go ahead.
Yeah, but so with Twitter now, you know, it's
name,
an open book.
People expect you to win.
Yeah, and they tell me. You know, they tell me how much they love me, and they tell me how much they don't like it when I'm not winning also.
Jeff, you've been racing for so long professionally. It has to be close to 20 years now, right?
Yeah, this is my 20th season.
This is your 20th season, series. What an unbelievable advance in the sport in terms of the equipment that you use, and I would imagine how expensive it is to do what you do for a living now. I would imagine it is way harder now, costs way more money now to field the right team and get the right people and get the right cars and everything like that as it was when you got started, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I look at the costs. The first year I was in it, 93, you know, we were probably working on a budget of $4 or $5 million, and now that's, you know, $35, $40 million. So
wow.
It's gotten extremely expensive, the technology. Even though NASCAR does a great job really trying to keep the cost down, you know, we hear about stock car racing and keeping it as stock as possible, but it's impossible. When you've got an engine that's making close to 900 horsepower and running the speeds that we're running and the schedule that we have too. I mean, we have over 500 employees and you know, I don't know, 800,000 square feet of shops and building facilities to build the cars and the engines and the,
wow.
the house, you know, the whole team. It's unbelievable how you know big it has gotten. So yeah, things have changed a lot over the years.
I bet. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come right back. More with our guest, Jeff Gordon, here on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll talk about the Daytona 500, which was a phenomenal way to start off this season because everything that could happen happened in that race.
We'll also take questions from you if you want to call 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that, and we'll do that when we get back on the Kevin. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ in the category of better late than never.
Here comes Gordon on the outside. Jeff Gordon has moved up in front. He's Tony Stewart, and he gets the push by. Jeff Gordon, a five-time Talladega winner. He knows how to get it done.
Our car was real, real tight.
Jeff Gordon's upside down. Jeff Gordon to the bottom.
Jeff Gordon is the winningest active driver at this Talladega Super Speedway.
I was slipping. He was slipping. You know, the throttle control was very tough there at the end. And
saw Jeff Gordon wave out the window. Oh, smoke, trouble. Fire on Jeff Gordon's Chevrolet.
Engine just blew all to pieces.
We're blown up, guys. It's all done.
Get out the checkered flag and display it for amazing. Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon won the Winston Million.
Career win number 85. Jeff Gordon, third on NASCAR's all-time win list.
Wow. Jeff is here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning promoting the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, which is coming up on March 25th at noon. Tickets are starting at just $35, by the way, available at autoclubspeedway.com. And there's a Jeff Gordon package you can inquire about for less than $199. You get the tickets in rows 15 through 23. You get the weekend pre-race pit pass. You get the race day Q&A with Jeff Gordon. All sorts of good stuff. You can get all those details at autoclubspeedway.com. See, Jeff, that intro was worth waiting for, wasn't it?
That was awesome.
You just better, right?
They just didn't say Jeff Gordon enough.
That is the problem.
Hey, a couple of questions for you before we go to some phone calls here at 1-800-520-1067. How many times have you watched Talladega Nights? And I bet you can never get tired of that movie, right?
It is a good one to laugh at. I think our sport has so many things to laugh at that it's great that somebody like Will Ferrell, you know, decided to do something so great that made us all laugh.
Tell me about the Daytona 500. I know you were disappointed you didn't place better, but what a crazy race to be a part of. What a historic race. I mean, the fact that it was postponed due to rain, first of all, that never happens, right?
Right.
And you're all amped up, ready to go, and then you get the word, oh, sorry, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, the whole Speed Weeks was nuts. Obviously, you know, with us starting it out with the flipping in the Bud Shootout, and then you know, you go into the 500, and we have a crash on lap one that takes out Jimmy Johnson, and I think Danica was in that one as well. So, you know, a crazy turn of events there with the jet dryer, you know, and the impact that Juan Pablo Montoya made into it, and then the tweeting by Brad Keselowski. And
what was that? I'm sorry, I don't know that story.
I guess it maybe started to rain, and so there was a jet dryer out on the track trying to dry off the track.
Right.
And apparently they carry about 100 gallons of jet fuel on board, and Juan Pablo Montoya was going by, and he had something broke in the back of the car, spun him into the jet dryer, and it started a huge fire. Massive fire. And so they red flagged the race. Well, Brad Keselowski said the cars are sitting on the back straightaway where this in the distance was the fire, and he had his phone in his car with him, and he started taking pictures and started tweeting during the red flag. And get this, he gained like 150,000 followers.
I imagine.
In a matter of like 45 minutes or something. It was insane.
And NASCAR doesn't come down on tweeting from the car like they do in other sports. You know, basketball players can't do it during games, for instance.
Oprah won't be happy.
Well, now let's be clear on something. Nobody was driving and texting.
Okay.
No driving and tweeting. It was, you know, they were outside the car. So I didn't see anything wrong with that. I still don't understand why he had his phone in his car, you know, because that doesn't make much sense. But
he might get calls. You don't know.
You don't know, man. You're busy. You don't listen to anything in your car except your crew chief and your headset, right?
Yes. No iTunes or anything like that in my car. Sorry. I wish.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls here, as many as we have time for, because I know, Jeff, you got to go in a minute. But 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Brad. He's on line 8. And since you brought up this topic already, let's explore it a little bit more. Brad, welcome to the show. You're on with Jeff Gordon.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good, good. Before I get to my question, I just want to tell you, I drove you from Denver to Vail back in 93, and it was just you and me in the Vans to Vail van in a bad snowstorm. You remember that time?
He was talking to us about that. He was saying that was the best ride of his life.
And he wished he could reconnect with that driver.
All right. Well, I don't know if you remember, but that was me. Anyhow, my question is, and you said I did a good job also, by the way.
All right, get to your question, for God's sakes.
Okay, my question is, what do you think of Danica Patrick's going to evolve into this season and going into next, with all the crashes and the controversy going on here? What are the other guys thinking as well?
We're going to put you on hold. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to the Auto Club 400.
Because we're afraid you might start talking again.
And thanks again for that ride from Denver to Vail. It was an awesome ride. you know, here's the thing with Danica. She's earned the right to be there. She started racing just like we were talking about, you know, me starting racing at a young age. And mm-hmm. every professional driver at this level started at a young age. She did the same thing. She came up through the ranks. She's a very good driver. But she'll never live up to the hype. I mean, nobody.
It's impossible.
It's impossible for anybody to – and that's the part I feel sorry for right now, is that, you know, there's so much hype. There's so much talk. I mean, it doesn't matter where she's on the track, you know, where's Danica running. And then, you know, she's going to struggle. Any new driver to a series, especially when you go from open wheel cars to a stock car, you're going to go through some growing pains, and it's going to take her, you know, time to really figure these tracks and the cars out. But she doesn't have time, you know, because they're putting so much pressure on her.
I imagine you go through problems and trials even when you're when you've been doing it for a long time.
I
mean, yeah. I learn
every week. I'm learning something new.
In a way, what Danica is going through for the last couple of years is kind of what Jeremy Lin has been going through for the New York Knicks, which is you become a celebrity, you become famous, and then the expectations are out of control, and you don't have a chance to develop your game like anyone else would.
That's right. And then there's just a whole new set of pressures that are put on you and expectations. And you know, if they had hyped up Jimmy Johnson, you know, before he came into the Cup Series, and then he lived up to it, then you know, the guy would be one of the biggest rock star athletes in the world. But nobody said a word about Jimmy Johnson before he came to the Cup Series, and then he went on a tear, wins 5 championships in a row, and so it didn't build up, you know, right. Yes, he's a star, but not to the level of what Dale Jr. is or what, you know,
or Jeff Gordon is.
Well,
let's take David on line 2. David, calling on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking to Jeff Gordon. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah, Jeff. My name is David. Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Have you ever driven Mr. Gordon anywhere?
Actually, you know what? I have.
Nope. What's your question?
Actually, you know, my question is this. If there is anything that you can actually change this season, what would it be that what would be actually changing?
If you could
You're
change
talking
something
about in terms of the structure of the NASCAR season, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, either more races, less races.
Yeah, because it's a brutal schedule, Jeff, you were telling us, right?
Based on this schedule this week, it'd be the schedule. Yeah. I'd like to have next weekend off. you know, we've got some really cool things happening this year with new electronic fuel injection, so I'm excited about most of the things that we have. Obviously, I'd like them to change the tire that we had in Phoenix. You know, our schedule is a long and grueling one, and I guess if I could change anything, it definitely would be the schedule to have, especially somebody who has 2 kids at home. You know, I like
well,
to
that's
spend
somebody
more
else. We
them.
Don't have time for the call, but somebody else wanted to know what it's like to be on your schedule with the family.
Yeah, well, and sometimes they travel with me and sometimes they don't. Usually when I'm out west, you know, unless we're going to be out west for several weeks, they'll stay at home and don't come to those events. And so, you know, I miss them a lot during those times. But, you know, I've also been afforded the luxuries to be able to fly around, you know, privately and allow me to maximize that amount of time that I do have so I can get back and forth to them or get them to wherever I am. So
Jeff's got a jet.
I'm not complaining.
He's got his own jet.
That's awesome.
Jeff,
I'm not one of those people that looks down on you because you have a good
plane.
No,
I think it's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, 1%. 1%. 1%. Jeff, you turned 40 last year, right?
I did.
How does that affect your ability to be the top driver? I mean, is it do you find it more difficult with age or no? Just more experience is all.
I mean, listen, there's no doubt that the sport as it gets more competitive, you got to be in better physical shape. You know, you've got to be, you know, have all your reflexes and everything to be good. And as you get older, some of those things go away a little bit. So I just have to work harder at it. You know, I have to work harder at the physical fitness side of it. You know, I feel like the experience I do have in this series helps me, and I think it offsets the things that maybe I have going against me at being at my age. But, you know, I feel as good about racing today as I ever have, and I think a lot of that's just the team. You know, I've got such a great team. I mean, we saw this weekend Mark Martin was on the pole. What's he, 52, 53 years old? So there's advantages and disadvantages for sure.
You got a few years left in you, right?
I definitely have a few years left.
So funny how we come from different worlds. On the pole means something completely different to me than it does to you. Final question. I know you're running out of time. What's the biggest thing, misconception, would you guess, that most of us that aren't in the race world, we don't understand? Is there something that...
I mean, I think that when you watch it on TV, it looks like the cars are just going around there all by themselves and you can just push the pedal down and go past the car in front of you.
Right.
You know, or we have the misconception of, you know, things like Days of Thunder created where it's like, you can pass on the outside, Cole. you know, perfectly matched set of tires, and he drops down into third gear and just drives by the car. You know, the cars are very difficult to drive. You know, the competition is intense. But, you know, we have an awesome sport. I mean, I'm just already looking at this year, the momentum that was built from last year, from this great championship between Carl Edwards and Tony Stewart, and that battle, the momentum is really still with us. So the sport is thriving right now, which is very cool, because we went through a downturn like,
right,
you know, a lot of people did with the economy and other sports. So, you know, to me, it's great to be a part of the sport right now, and you know, the racing's great and having fun. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of misconceptions. You know, Okay. Most of our fans are very educated about the sport and enjoy it for the right reasons.
You can see it in person, the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, March 25th at noon. Tickets are available starting at just $35. Be sure to look into the Jeff Gordon package too, where you get so much more for $99. And again, it's AutoClubSpeedway.com. Jeff, such a pleasure to have you in, man. We know you got a ridiculous schedule. Thank you for squeezing in the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck to you this week, when that race comes about in a couple of weeks.
Well, thank you very much. I can't wait to get back out here. This racetrack's become one of the premier tracks on the circuit, so it's going to be a lot of fun and, you know, some 4 or 5 wide racing. But it was great to have some fun with you guys this morning. If I'm going to get up early, at least get to laugh a little bit. So thank you for that.
Happy to do it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Right, I enjoyed speaking with Mr. Gordon a few minutes ago. And let me tell you, looking ahead, our friend William Shatner on the program later this week. Tomorrow, our musical guest Lana Del Rey will be here and performing live. So I'm also very much looking forward to that. April Foolishness tickets that you can win, plus Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Ah, sweet death. Is there anything better, you guys?
Everything. We are not on the same page. Lisa does not love the death. I don't love the death. I don't know anybody else in my life that loves death.
Well, I think you'll enjoy these stories except very much. You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want to see more on any of the Bean's Death Corner stories we tell you about today. We start off in Havelock, North Carolina. This is a bizarre story. Here's a guy, 43-year-old Gary Banning, who's visiting a friend's apartment. He walks into the friend's kitchen, thinks he sees a jar or a bottle of soda on the friend's countertop, picks it up and swallows it. Turns out not soda so much as gasoline.
Oh!
Now, who has a jar of gasoline sitting in their kitchen? Is there any possible reason you can think of why you would need gas in a jar?
No.
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not.
And can't you smell it? As you bring it up to your face?
I would think so, too. I mean, who just randomly goes into somebody's kitchen and says, oh, I don't know what that is, but I'll drink it. Yeah. Especially in North Carolina, it could be tobacco juice for all you know, right? Well, anyway, obviously, he spit out the gas. That was not what he was hoping for when he took the swig. He did get some on his clothes, which turned out to be a bad deal when he then stepped outside for a smoke.
Oh my God. Lit his
cigarette and burst into flames, dying almost instantly.
I got to tell you, that guy deserved it.
It's on him, right?
That's really on him.
Here's we always talk about that deal that happens where you're the highest high and then you go to the lowest lows. Things couldn't be going any better, and all of a sudden you can't believe how bad they're going. Here's a 74-year-old man, Mr. Chen, in Taiwan, who's, having sex with a 62-year-old prostitute. They had sex for about 30 minutes.
Are there prostitutes that are 62 years old?
Hey, if you're 74 or 62, looks like a hot young chick to you, right?
I know, but don't
but
you
can't
call...
can't you have 30?
Yeah, you're paying. I'm getting me a 25-year-old. 62?
Well, maybe she was like a dollar. I don't know. Maybe
Come
Mr.
on.
Chen's on a fixed income. I don't know what the circumstances are there.
Wow.
So they have sex for about 30 minutes. Then he gets up, pays her, is putting on his clothes when he suddenly collapses. She says, the prostitute says, he fell back onto the bed. His eyes were open, but he was not moving. I shook his body. I tried to wake him up. So she called 911. They show up. Turns out the man had swallowed his dentures and couldn't breathe.
Awesome.
That's how he died.
Awesome.
So 1 minute, he's having sex at 74 years old.
Yeah, but with a 62-year-old.
Well, who knows?
I can about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
I wasn't aware the Kevin B microphones were there. Here's a bizarre story, and I'm actually almost surprised this doesn't happen more often. Death by karaoke, ladies and gentlemen. Fox 26 News in Houston reports that a 20-something man was shot in the head and killed after singing a song the other patrons did not like at a Houston karaoke bar.
That's some pressure.
That's the point of karaoke.
Right.
You can be terrible and it's okay.
I would think so, too. Apparently, there may have been a race relations problem. The guy sang a song called Somos Más Americanos, We Are More American, by a Mexican band, Los Tigres del Norte. He sang it. Somebody came up to him in the club and said, I don't like that song, pulled out a gun and shot him without warning in the head. He did. Then then the guy and his colleagues jumped in the car and got away, so police are still looking for him. But, man, you got to just be careful. I mean, it's not like he was singing Nickelback or something, for God's sakes, right? Give the guy a break.
He deserved it.
Exactly. Here's another prostitute story. Unfortunately, this time it's the sex worker who died, not the John. She's in Zimbabwe. She decided, and tell me, by the way, how much are you paying for this service? She has sex with the guy, spends the night. The next morning she gets up and decides she's going to wash his clothes for him. She's hanging his clothes on the clothesline outside. The clothesline apparently was touching a live wire.
Oh, no.
She was electrocuted. She died. Hanging up this dude's clothes, right?
Yeah.
Well, her relatives say they're not going to bury the body because he should have to pay. He should have to bury the body because she died while over at his house. He's saying, look, I didn't kill her. All I did was have sex with her. I didn't have anything to do with how she died. You should be suing the electric company. They're the ones who should be paying. Neither side will pay for the burial. The woman lays in the hospital waiting to be buried.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
How about that?
How does the family not... just immediately say that's our family.
The only thing I can suggest is maybe they don't have the money.
Huh.
You know, maybe that's what's going on.
Huh.
And finally, on Bean's Death Corner, and again, you can see all these stories at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. This is a bizarre story. The interesting part isn't the death, although this was an 18-year-old who accidentally ran in front of an Amtrak train coming through a Chicago train station at 70 miles an hour and was hit and instantly killed.
Dumbass.
It's what happened after that has made this newsworthy. His body was severed on impact. A large part, I assume his torso, flew through the air about 100 feet onto the southbound platform where it hit another commuter. Her name was a person.
Oh,
yes. Gayan Zokropovov, cannot be how her name is pronounced, 58 years old, was knocked to the ground by the flying body parts, broke her leg and her wrist, and injured her shoulder. Now, she is suing the family of the 18-year-old who got hit by the train, saying that they should have foreseen that if he stepped on the train tracks and got hit by a train, that body parts might injure other people.
Well,
his estate is arguing, look, he didn't intend to step in front of the train. He thought he had time to jump over the tracks to get to the other side of the platform to catch his train. He didn't realize the train was coming so fast and was so close to him. So it was an accident. It's not his fault.
Wow.
What do you do with this? What do you do with this if you're the judge?
Throw it out.
Yeah, come
well,
on.
The kid's a dumbass. The woman's
Cook
a dumbass.
County judge
pursuing.
Initially dismissed the lawsuit against the boy's estate, saying that he could not possibly have anticipated the woman's injuries. But then the appeals court said, no, no, it was reasonable to foresee that a high-speed train would kill you if you got on the tracks and would fling your body onto a platform where people are waiting. It is still in appeal. We do not know how this is going to work out. But wouldn't you think that the family of the 18-year-old has already maybe suffered enough?
Yeah,
I mean, that's just that, like, act of God kind of thing, really.
Yeah, it was that was a bad commute for everybody involved that day, though, wasn't it?
You don't ever want to be hit by half a body.
You don't want to be hit by half a body. No. Take anything away from today's show. And this is an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Ralph Garman is out today. We are taking a look at the showbiz beat this hour and start with the box office over the weekend. Nobody saw The Lorax being so huge. By the way, this I know was a successful Dr. Seuss book, but it, to me, is it one of the classics? Is it up there with Cat in the Hat and Hop on Pop and those?
I'd never heard of it. Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Well, $73 million at the box office this weekend. I mean, you know, they had some pretty popular people doing the voices, your Taylor Swifts and your Zac Efrons, your Danny DeVitos and people like that. And they did a great job of publicizing it. Maybe there haven't been a lot of kids' movies out in the last few weeks, but it seemed like everybody went to see this film.
Yeah.
Just way above box office expectations. The biggest opener of 2012 so far, that was number one. Project X, or as Kevin calls it, K-Rox Kevin's Project X, came in number two.
Bean and I cut a lot of lines for that movie, and then they just left in one of me, and they cut him out completely.
Aw, Bean.
That's comedy.
What was your line, by the way? You saw the movie, right?
It's the Kevin and Bean show, and let's talk about that house party last night. It means nothing, but it's just that one line, and all the beans were cut out.
I could have done that, though.
There's no way. We don't have time for you to learn on the job, Bean.
Act of Valor, the Navy SEALs movie, came in at number three with $14.2 million. Then Safe House, Tyler Perry's Good Deeds, The Mysterious Island, The Vow, This Means War, Ghost Rider, and for the first time ever in the top ten, I think, The Artist, getting a bump from its Academy Award-winning Best Picture last weekend, $4.0 million.
Oprah Winfrey has landed the interview that everybody seems to want, which is Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina Brown. She is 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And I guess this
looks
week,
just like her father, unfortunately.
That's sad. Apparently this weekend, Saturday, March 10th, is when Oprah's going to do the interview and find out. I can't imagine what you could ask her. How does it feel?
Yeah.
You know how it feels.
No, I would imagine it's about, you know, growing up, being Whitney Houston's daughter and what their life was like. And
she used to party with me a lot.
Did they party together?
They partied together, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Has Oprah done this sort of interview before on the OWN network? Because she doesn't really do a show, per se, like she used to.
I don't know.
She does
specials or something.
Yeah, she does special interviews. I've seen her do a couple of different
ones. My wife finds something to watch from her at all times.
Right. Hey, remember last year hackers got into the Sony PlayStation network? Remember, it was really embarrassing. They were having a lot of trouble closing down those holes in Japan. They were getting hacked all the time, and people's information was being made public, and it was a real mess. Well, this is interesting. We didn't know until this weekend that Sony Music now confirms that cyber crooks also got into its archives and downloaded more than 50,000 music files, including Michael Jackson's entire recorded output, along with tons of previously unreleased tracks, outtakes and unused material from Off the Wall, from Thriller, and from Bad, as well as a duet with Michael Jackson and Freddie Mercury from the band Queen. Which I never even knew about. Did not know that had even been recorded.
Hmm.
But, I mean, this is the type of thing, these outtakes and unused material, this is the type of thing that Sony would turn around and put on a special edition, you know, an off-the-wall 30th anniversary Thriller, Bad, do the whole thing. So I don't know who's got them or whether they're going to now make them available or what, but that has to be bad news for Sony to see something like that get out there. Right?
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks to all of the listeners who tweeted me knowing that I would be interested in this over the weekend. Olivia Munn, Latest celebrity to fall victim to phone hackers. Apparently, and I don't know that I believe it, although I'd like to, but there are some pictures of Olivia Munn, who is in lingerie, that apparently got taken off of her phone. She looks great in them.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she tweeted most of those photos anyway. And then there are some that are nude, but you can't see her head, her face.
Mm-hmm.
So are they? I'd like to believe so.
I want to say yes.
We have no idea, but I did get it on Twitter about 50 times this weekend. So thank you to everybody.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. Thank you, Lisa.
And Christina Hendricks, too, by the way, from Mad Men.
Yes.
Those must be gigantic. Even if they're not hers, they must be gigantic.
Those are gigantic.
They found a comparable body double if they are, in fact, not hers. So good times. Penn Jillette, frequent guest to the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the smartest people I know. Of course, half of the very successful Penn and Teller Magic Act and a current contestant on Celebrity Apprentice, turns 57 years old today. Also, you remember that 500 Miles song from the Proclaimers from about 20 years ago?
But I would walk 500 miles.
That one. That's it. Those twin brothers from Scotland, Craig and Charlie Reed, celebrate their 50th birthday today. John Frusciante, who is on again, off again, on again, and I think this week off again as the guitarist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, turns 42 years old today, as does Mike Brown, the coach of the Lakers. Kevin Connolly, E! From Entourage, is 38. And a couple of real hotties celebrating their 37th birthday today. Actress Eva Mendes.
Yes.
And model Nikki Taylor.
Yes.
Both 37 today, and that is the showbiz. Kevin Amin's April Fool's just 2012, completely sold out Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Thanks again for buying your tickets. You know, one of the beautiful things about having it in a place as small and intimate as the Gibson Amphitheater, just like with our Acoustic Christmas, is, you know, there's no bad seats in the place.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the downside of that is not everybody can go who wants to go. But at least, even though it's sold out and the money went to charity, at least we did hold a few tickets back to give away on the air, and we'll have them for you next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Your chance to win your way in to see Eddie Izzard and Jay Mohr and Larry King and Bob Saget, Jim Jefferies, Eddie Ift, and all the great comedians coming up in about an hour or so right from now on the Kevin Bean Show.
You know, we should mention that we never really did. We're not very good at giving out information. Is a parental warning. This is not exactly the same standards as we use for this radio show.
Said that before we put the tickets on sale.
Yes.
For
people. Yeah. This night of comedy is way over the line that you've come to expect from the Kevin and Bean Show on the radio.
I brought some friends last year who will not come back.
They were horrified.
They were.
The comedians don't have those rules, so it's a night of comedy that's not appropriate. So
yeah, especially with Saget.
Oh, my God. But it's
He's
so
the
good.
Phallus.
All right, let's talk about Project X this weekend. It was a house party in Pasadena. Got out of control.
You saw the movie.
Yes.
The commercials looked awesome. How's the movie?
It's good. It's
fine.
Weird. It's sort of weird in that there's a little bit of why did this movie get made, sort of. You look at it and you go, okay, the whole movie is the party going out of control. And at the end, I guess him getting his girlfriend back is the goal.
Oh, uh-huh. Spoiler alert.
But other than that, there's
no plot.
I mean, yeah, it's all the party getting out of control, which is kind of funny. And each step of the way, how it gets more and more out of control.
Mm-hmm. Boobies?
A lot of boobies, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yep. That's why it got made.
A lot of boobies. And we're going to take your calls now, 1-800-520-1067. You were going to throw a house party. And it got out of control somehow. Something happened. Now, we don't expect it to get out of control to the lengths that this movie did, where there's a guy on top of a car in the middle of the street with a flamethrower lighting trees and houses on fire. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen.
Now, does it have to be your party, or can you have just been at
it? Oh, you could have been at it, yeah.
Okay, because we'll take those calls at 1-800-520-1067. House parties that got out of control in honor of Project X. We want to see how crazy it got. Listen to this email that we got from Brad. I have to tell you about a party from Akron, Ohio in my high school days, thrown by a girl no one really knew. Huge, beautiful house. Things got out of control as the night went on. Someone chopped down a full-grown tree in the backyard. Now, at what point in a party does somebody say, hey, give me an axe, I'm going to go chop that big tree down? Like, how does that even happen, right?
I don't know, but that's why I love it, because you have to wonder what steps got them to that point.
There was cookie sheet sledding down the stairs. Someone put marshmallows on all the light bulbs. I don't know what that does, but I'm sure it smells bad. This is Brad's email now. I started a lawnmower in the kitchen, and people would throw charcoal briquettes and silverware under it so that the stuff would rocket out the side towards people.
Oh, my God.
And what kind of a party are you shooting people with debris from a lawnmower?
That's well into drunk time. there.
Someone brought a garden hose into the house and soaked the party. All I remember is the stereo was blasting the Muppets theme song at some point, too.
That's how we roll in the Midwest.
Right, party music right there. That's from Brad. So that's exactly, thank you, Brad. That's exactly the type of party that we're talking about. Like, how crazy out of control did it get to the point where it's legendary and people are still talking about it?
I don't know if you remember this from a couple of years ago in Australia, but there was a house party that got out of control. And here's the news report as she's interviewing the dude who threw it. And he's got bright yellow hair and bright yellow glasses, and she's very upset at him. And he doesn't seem to really care all that much that what happened.
Teenager holds an alcohol-fueled party for hundreds of kids while his unsuspecting parents are on holiday. 16-year-old Corey Worthington is now facing not only the wrath of mum and dad, but a $20,000 fine from police. I spoke to him a short time ago. What were you thinking?
I wasn't really.
I don't know what you expect from that question. It's really, there's no answers. There's no answers. You wanted to party, so you partied.
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What else can you say beyond that?
My parents were gone.
Yeah.
Did your parents say you could have a party?
No.
So
they didn't.
Why did you?
Because they were gone.
Oh,
what's wrong with you?
I don't know. It was just a get together with a couple mates at first, and then we thought we might as well just have a bit of a party, and then it sort of just got out of hand, and... Yeah.
Well, 500 people turned up, the air wing of the police force, the dog squad, your neighbor's cars were being destroyed. What have your parents had to say, Corey?
Now, here's my favorite part, because she's interviewing now about the party and the parents. What have the parents had to say?
I haven't really talked to them, because every time they call, I don't answer, because, yeah... They'll probably try to kill me.
Because, they'll probably try to kill me. So he won't answer the phone. So he's doing an interview on the news about the party that destroyed his whole neighborhood. And he won't talk to his parents yet because he knows they're going to be
fantastic.
Gonna be angry.
They talked about how there was $50,000 worth of damage at that party, by the way.
And she said later in the interview, she said, would you like to apologize? Take off your sunglasses and apologize. He had these bright yellow glasses on. And he's like, I'll apologize, but I'm not taking off my glasses.
Oh, my God.
And she said, why? And he said, they're famous. I love this kid. What a tool.
Let's talk to Sarah real quick, and then we'll take your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. Party out of bounds. That's the topic today. House party got out of control. What happened? We can't wait to hear your stories in honor of Project X. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling. What happened?
Hi. So in high school, I threw a senior party, and an ex-friend of mine flyered it at three high schools as to get me back for something. And over 500 kids showed up. Shots were fired. Cops were called.
Shots were fired.
Right in the air. Someone thought it was funny to bring a gun, shoot it in the air. And, my parents were out of town. They came home. My house was trash. I was grounded. Yeah. No bueno.
No bueno indeed.
Au contraire, bueno.
Did anyone get arrested? Did anyone get arrested, or did the cops just show up and make everybody leave?
No, five people got arrested for drunk in public.
And were you legendary for the rest of the year?
I was. And I got her back pretty good myself. So
sweet.
That's fantastic.
Were you arrested, Sarah?
I was not arrested. No. I was just told to stay in the house.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sarah, for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. I'd also like to point out, for those that didn't see the movie, that there is a point where you realize the party's out of control, and it's at that point where you need to make a decision whether you're going to get it back in control or not.
Yeah.
And I would suggest putting a midget in the oven is a... It's a bad idea. Like, that right there was the turning point in the movie.
That's where the most parties get started, though, Kevin.
I'm saying don't do that, because the midget then started punching everybody at whatever was eye level, which is their groins. And that's when all hell broke loose. All right, we'll take your calls in a second on the Kevin.
In honor of one of the big movies at the box office this weekend, Project X, we're talking about parties that got out of control.
Yeah, let's have a bachelor party with chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
Yeah. All the things that make life worth living for.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Tom writes in, it's not a party until a llama shows up out of nowhere, is drinking beer from a punch bowl while people stand around and blow hits in his face. That's not a party.
That's the very definition of a party.
Gotta love the valley, he says. But we're taking your calls, whatever kind of party it was. 1-800-520-1067. Wow, where do we start? This is a fantastic group of calls to choose from, right?
It's pretty tough here. Let's start with Steve. Why not? Steve, good morning. Hello, Steve.
Hit it, Steve.
Tried. You guys hear him? There's someone there.
No.
Hey, Steve.
Okay. Let's try Dan, line 7. This is why you don't let Kevin choose which line to go to.
How dare you?
Let's try Dan on line 7, talking about an awesome 3-day party people are still talking about. Dan, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Is it us?
Oh, what about that, Bean?
How's it feel now? Did Beer Mug have a button phone? Not pushed?
I'm
what's going on?
You that it's all good. It's all good.
Not my fault.
Sorry, it's not my fault either.
All right, this is not a good start. Let's try George, line 5. How about George? Give me some George.
Hey, George.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys?
There you go. All right.
Finally, a man who knows how to use a phone. George, we're talking about awesome house parties that got out of control. What happened, dude?
Okay, yeah. So we used to have these fire parties back in the late 90s, right? And they got so out of control, 75 people in my front yard. Somebody called the cops saying that a person, individual, had a gun. Well, a helicopter shows up, hovers about 25 feet above the house. Down the street is about maybe 25 or so riot police getting ready to come into the
sweet
house.
Sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
Love it all lined up.
Yeah. They were coming in, and then they were starting to get people out of the front yard and start getting into the cars. They arrested a couple of them. They ended up getting in the house. A friend of mine was out in the front selling happy balloons. He ran inside inside the house with the tank. Jumps under the couch, puts the tank under the couch, jumps on top of the couch and is laying there on the couch. One of the biggest humans I ever seen in my life in riot gear comes up to my house, has to duck under the door because he's so big and can't fit, right? And my mom's right in front of him, and she's just looking at him, and he's looking down at her, and she's like, ma'am, is this your house? And she's like, yes. He was like, well, you need to get all these people out of here now. If not, I'm taking you in, and I'm taking your son in.
Oh, sweet.
And, oh, my God. It was so
George,
bad.
Was anybody doing anything wrong or illegal, or was it just too many people?
Happy balloons.
Mom
wanted more happy balloons.
I'm sorry, whatever. Happy balloons?
No, I said Mom wanted happy balloons.
Oh, no. Mom thought she was going to get some money because we were charging, I think, $10 a head.
All right. Thank you for the call, George. Appreciate that. Yeah, those flyer parties, that's the way to go, man. Those get passed around. Let's go to Will on line 6. He's got a celebrity angle to his house party out of control.
Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What happened to your house?
Well, my parents were out of town, so I thought it was a good idea to have a party. Mm-hmm. And after I thought about 20 people would come, I had about 200 people there.
Whoa.
And people were just getting out of control, and the infamous Fletcher from Pennywise showed up.
Oh, you're man, you know it's going to be a party when Fletcher shows up.
And so he was in the kitchen, and he was breaking up bags of Lipton tea and snorting them.
Right.
I don't know why, but...
I don't know why, but... Because he's Fletcher, that's why.
Did anyone know Fletcher to invite him, or how did he even end up at your party?
Yeah, he's a local guy from the South Bay. I grew up in the South Bay, so we went to high school together. So
okay. He knew where every party was in Bay.
Yeah, and he shows up with a bottle of JD, and he and his friends just go to destroying the place and flush toilet paper down the toilet, like that was funny.
Yeah.
And
everything's funny when you're drunk. And then you wake up the next morning and you go, that wasn't funny.
Yeah. I had a guy at the door, collecting money because we had a keg.
Sweet.
So I made a bunch of money that way, but in the morning I had to pay for a plumber. So all the $200 I made, I had to pay.
Oh, that's too bad.
Exactly. Thank you for
But
the
if
call,
you broke that's... even, that's pretty good.
That's a good night for free entertainment. Let's try Phil on line 2. Somehow drugs were involved in Phil's party, and that's what made it get out of control. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
What's up, guys? All right. So around in ninth grade, it started off as a little house party, and there was like 25 people there, and I thought it'd be smart to bring mushrooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I showed up there with mushrooms, and I gave and me and probably about half the people there did them. And the owner of the house did them as well, and it got so out of control. We ended up breaking every single mirror in the house, and someone locked the bathroom and wouldn't let us in, so we put a hole through the wall to get into the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Not just knock the door down.
Yeah,
hole in the wall.
A hole in the wall so that we could get into the bathroom. It's just easier access. And then this one was pretty crazy. We had a box full of not frozen Otter Pops. And I took them out and I cut a bunch of the tops off and I threw them into the fan And it just made the walls were just so colorful.
I'll bet.
And we threw Otter Pops all over the walls in the house, and we knocked out the whole stairway was basically knocked out.
Sweet.
And
mushrooms.
Everything was glass. It was just
kids, if you're thinking about doing mushrooms, I want you to listen to Phil's phone call and see how he sounds today, years after this party.
He sounds fine to me.
I'm sure he does. You speak Phil. Thank you very much.
Let's talk to Joe one more. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Dude, we're at my boy's party right here in South Almani. Oh, dude.
Right.
It got crazy. We're jumping off the roof. There was a whole lot of drinking. So finally, somebody must have called the cops. They pulled up, and as the cops was asking, hey, whose house is this? The cops went to go talk to the person of the house. My homeboys were jumping off the roof onto the cop car.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
It doesn't stop there. They off the cop car after that. One of my boys jumped into the driver's seat of the car and started yelling on the speakerphone, like, hey, let's get down, party, da-da-da-da. Dude, they got busted.
Of course.
They ended up from the front seat into the back seat. And they ended up doing a couple nights, man.
Oh, that's so good. Why am I having so much fun right now?
I don't know. You're just bummed that you missed all these parties, though, right?
I really, really need to be invited to those parties. That's all I know. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with Harvey Levin from
Hey!
Come on.
They can come in. Tell them they can come in.
Hey, we're on the air, Harvey.
What?
Come on now.
Trying to do a radio show here, man.
Be professional.
This is private.
If you guys knew when to push the button, these things wouldn't happen.
Well, you're right about that. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock. Mondays mean we catch up with the TMZ newsroom, who don't ever get a day off. Here's Harvey Levin on the phone. Harvey, how was your weekend?
I had an interesting weekend.
All right. Don't you always?
What I did last night.
You had an interesting weekend. What did you do last night?
You'll never guess.
Okay, then I'm not going to try.
I sang
oh, no.
In a stadium of 4,000 people.
You sang?
Yep.
Did you sing my way?
Yes. Paul Anka had a concert down in the desert, and I went down, and he called me up on stage, and I sang my way with him.
What?
Unbelievable.
It was so much fun.
Of course it was for you, but the people there to see Paul Anka must have been going, what's happening?
I mean, they were throwing walkers on the stage.
Now, for folks who don't remember, Harvey recorded a version of the Paul Anka, Frank Sinatra classic song, My Way. You did it, at Capitol Studios a couple of years ago, right? Right.
A year ago.
A year ago,
okay. And you sold it for charity or something like that?
It was so much fun. I got to tell you something. I mean, it was hilarious.
How did it happen? I mean, he could not – we heard your version of that song. He could not have liked it.
Why would you say that?
Would you say that?
I'm just teasing, Harvey. Oh.
It was. I had so much fun. I don't care what you say.
I bet you did. It sounds awesome.
And like 20 people from the staff came, and they were like, they were jumping up and down when I started singing. And I think one of them got hit with a cane from somebody behind.
Sweet. Down in front.
They got caned.
Love it.
Harvey, you have been on TV for years in front of millions of people, but tell me you weren't terrified to step out on that stage in front of just 4,000.
I swear to God I wasn't. I had so much
really?
Fun.
Really?
I really had fun.
That's great.
I mean, it's like what? So if I don't do well, my singing career is going to go south?
Well, true.
That's awesome. It was really fun.
Congratulations. That does sound like a lot of fun. Did TMZ, did anyone shoot any video of it, or are you putting it up on your site?
No, they did.
TV show.
Yeah, we may do something on the show.
All right, good.
Okay, good. All right, speaking of TV, I know you had a busy weekend being a big rock star and all, but did you or your staff see Lindsay Lohan hosting SNL, and if so, what did you think?
Well, the reviews are lukewarm, to say the least. I mean, a lot of people thought that the monologue was pretty good. But, you know, I mean, the problem with Saturday Night Live is that you have to look at the hand you're dealt. And if the writing isn't great, you kind of suck.
Agreed.
And there's no way around it.
Agreed.
But, you know, there were some people who felt, oh, God, she didn't even seem to memorize her lines, and it looked like she was reading some of it. So all in all, it wasn't like she didn't hit it out of the park for sure. And like most people on the site did not think it went real well.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, look, did she gain a few points by showing up on time and being competent? Yeah, she did. I mean, if what she's trying to do is rebuild her image so that people will give her acting work again, I guess at least she showed that. But she certainly didn't come across as a good actress. I mean, you look at the put that performance up against somebody like Emma Stone, who did hit it out of the park and who was so likable. and it wasn't even close to that.
What you just said, I almost feel like putting that up on the site, it's hilarious. It's like the highest praise for Lindsay. She showed up on time.
She did.
That's hilarious.
That is true.
That's all right. Really funny.
She made it, and she made it through the whole thing.
Exactly. She was still there and still standing by the time the show ended 90 minutes later.
All still right, standing at the end.
Yes.
Kevin and Bean.
Let's move along to two other ladies that were in the news and all over your site this weekend. What's your take on the possibly hacked naked photos of both Olivia Munn and Christina Hendricks from Mad Men?
Well, here's the conundrum. They both say that the nude photos are not them.
Right.
And, you know, one of them was hacked. One of them, one of them says that Christina Hendricks says that she actually posted it on. She posted a lot of these pictures, the non-nude pictures on Twitter.
Right.
But the naked one is not her. Olivia says that she was hacked. The problem is when they say that it's not them, their lawyers have a hard time calling the sites that post them and saying take it down, because if they're saying it's not them, they have no dog in the fight.
Yeah, that's true. Why would you if it's not them?
That's right. So it's the conundrum that these stars face when this happens, which is, do you acknowledge it and then force them to take it down, or do you not acknowledge it and then leave it up?
Can you force them just to say that it might, you know, to take down the certainty of the headline? You know what I mean? Like, this is Olivia Munn. No, it isn't. Maybe it's, you could change that.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
But you know what they do? They post a headline saying, look at these photos of not Olivia Munn.
Right, exactly.
Right. You
know? Now, Christina Hendricks also said that her phone was hacked, but these weren't her.
Right.
Well, so why would someone hack her phone, but not put up put up different photos?
Well, I mean,
that doesn't make any sense to me.
It kind of stretches the whole, you know, credibility issue. I mean, there are 100 of them that they hacked. That one's not me. On the other hand, you could say that the person who hacked them gets a bunch of innocuous pictures and then sets her up. I mean, it is
possible that
they set her up because they want these pictures, you know, out everywhere. So this has just become a huge, huge problem in Hollywood.
And tell me, Harvey, what is your investigation revealing as to who's behind these hackings? Is it lots of different people who are hacking lots of different celebrities, or is it one or a small group of people who are just going after all the hot chicks in Hollywood?
Well, they've arrested a couple of guys who were involved in a bunch of them about 3 months ago. But yeah, there are a lot of people who are doing this. I mean, look, hacking is not something that only three people have figured out.
Right.
There are a lot of people who have figured it out, and they all realize, too, that they can get a lot of attention for what they're doing, and that's what so much of this is about. So you've got all these people who are basically striving to get attention, and this is kind of the game they're playing right now.
But here's my problem with it, is that it's encouraging hot chicks like Olivia Munn to not keep nude photos on her phone. And that's wrong. We want that to happen. We want that to continue, right, Harvey? We want them to feel safe, but we want them to have those photos.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If you want them to have the photos,
yes,
but there's no way you would see the photos.
Well, I'm not saying there's no way.
We want them to have them on the phone.
So what you're saying is that you're pro-hacking.
No way, not at all.
Yes, you are.
I'm not saying that at all. I want Olivia Munn. I want every hot...
2 + 2.
I want every hot chick to be able to have naked photos of themselves on their phones. And
you want people to get hacked with
nude photos. No, I'm not saying
really.
Well, sort of. A little.
I do love that we're talking about Olivia Munn and Christina Hendricks' boobs, and Harvey summarizes that as 2 + 2, and he's absolutely right. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and I will not miss tonight's TMZ TV, that's for sure, if I might see you singing with Paul Anka. That sounds awesome. Harvey, thank you for coming on. Have a great week, my friend.
Okay. DJ
Omar Khan. It's got to be Omar, right? I mean, that guy's unbelievable,
yeah.
Right?
Unbelievable. Omar Khan, ladies and gentlemen, filling in for Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Omar, what's going on, man?
Rock and roll! That's what's happening.
Thanks, Doto.
I have some Guns N' Roses tickets. If you guys want to see Guns N' Roses, either March 11th at the Wiltern or March 9th at the Palladium, your choice. Call in K-Rock, caller 20, 800-520-1067. Wins Guns N' Roses tickets.
So well like me.
Yes, sorry. Top 10 at the box office. We'll start off with number 1. The Lorax debuted at $73 million.
That is crazy.
Is that crazy?
That is
no
way
idea
high.
It's going to make that much.
Project X at number 2, 20.5.
Kevin's and, Project X.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Go ahead.
Number 3, Act of Valor. 4, Safe House. Number five, we have three movies in at number five. Tyler Perry's Good Deeds, Journey to the Mysterious Island. Oh, wait. No, sorry. That's only two movies there. I thought the Journey 2 and Mysterious Island were two separate movies. Sorry. No, at number seven, The Vow. Number eight, This Means War. Nine, Ghost Rider. And at number 10, that BS movie, The Artist.
Omar, have you looked at this paper yet?
No, I actually just kind of copy and pasted a bunch of stuff. Ashton Kutcher visited Demi Moore over the weekend, and people are all abuzz that they're getting back together, but he says, no, they're not. Ashton just reportedly checked in with Demi Moore because he knew it was important to Demi's kid, especially Rumor Willis, who's 23.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that Ashton Kutcher is banging Rumor Willis.
Oh, no.
That's where you went with
no,
that?
Yes. No.
That's probably what's happening.
No.
That would be the ultimate
burn. That's
probably
why they split up.
Yeah.
No.
Did you guys hear about Adele, who thinks her $11 million mansion is haunted?
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome. You spend $11 million on it, and then you don't want to stay there.
And she hired a female bodyguard to stay in the 10-bedroom house with her when she's sleeping at night. You know what's happening there.
That's where we're going. Okay.
Sex video. That's awesome. Kim Kardashian back in the news.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Sorry.
Yay!
She's actually now
the little kids love the porn.
Yeah. Now the Kim Kardashian, she's going to give all the wedding presents that she received to charity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the rush?
Yeah, right? She has a charity that she picked out, and she's going to give all the presents to charity, and then she's going to take the estimated value of the entire presents, and she's going to cut them an extra check to match that.
So, all right.
So that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
She's actually being generous.
Hey, everyone, don't hate me.
Yeah, exactly. But now she does something hateable. You know, you heard there were the stories that she was really jealous of Courtney's pregnancy?
Yes.
And now she's running around town just charging up a bunch of presents, and she's going to gossipcop.com and saying, I'm not jealous. Look at all the stuff I'm buying for her.
Oh, dear God.
Really? That's how you show that you're not jealous? You buy her a bunch of stuff? Shut up, porn star Kim Kardashian.
By the way, if I gave her a $1,000 platter, how about sending that back to me?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Look, they were married for 2 months or something like that. The wedding gift should go back to the people who gave them. Otherwise, what you're basically saying is I'm forcing you to donate to charity that I choose that you don't want to.
Yeah, and I get to write it off.
All the people that are wealthy beyond, you know.
I know.
Who cares, really?
You don't care about
who cares? I don't care. I really don't care about any of this stuff.
Omar doesn't care.
Emma Stone is worried that she may never speak again.
What?
Star Magazine reports that the actress has polyps on her vocal cords and has put off surgery for more than a year because she keeps booking movies.
She does sound rough. I mean, even her appearance on the Oscars, it was very raspy. And I love her so much.
Yeah, and it's gotten so bad that her voice is literally cutting in and out when she speaks now.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
She's got to have surgery.
But that
right
surgery,
now.
They tell you one of the downsides is it could completely change your voice.
Oh, really?
Different or, like, lose it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really pretty serious. They have to try and make sure and keep it the same.
Wow. So
is it possible she'll never sing Rolling in the Deep again?
That's Adele.
Oh, that's the other vocal surgery. Got it.
She's already had the surgery, and she's okay.
Emma Stone, if you're listening, I have a tool that'll cure your
Omar.
Hey.
What?
It wasn't even...
What are you guys jumping to conclusions for?
I'm not even trying.
did you guys know that Snooki was saying that, my boyfriend Giovanni's going to propose to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess all it took is for her to get knocked up, and it happened.
He did?
He actually proposed.
Oh, what an idiot.
What a moron, right?
Wow, way to compound the problem.
Yeah, I call 6 months, and then they're going to be divorced.
Oh, you think they'll marry?
Oh, yeah. I think they'll marry, because they have a kid. A kid, I think they'll be like, okay. You know?
If they do, I'd give them 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the advantage to them getting married is MTV will probably pony up a lot of cash in order to have the rights to film it and air it, too, for their show.
Point.
Yeah. That's bogus. I hate when those people have a lot of money. Now we're going to sell for Punchline, right?
Yes, we are. If you want to go to April Foolishness, it's sold out, but we do have your tickets if you'd like to call right now with your favorite punchline. We don't want the joke. We do not want the entire joke.
But you do need to know the joke.
Yes.
It's just the punchline is what we're going to ask you for, and then we'll pick the best one, and then you can tell us the joke then.
If the punchline makes our phone screeners laugh, they will put you on hold. If you have the best punchline, we will give you the tickets for April Foolishness. 1-800-520-1067.
All right, celebrity birthdays. We got comedian magician Penn Jillette. Guitarist John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Is he in the band now or formerly now?
This week he's out.
Formally. Okay, he's out. Yes. He's out. Okay, so he's formerly now. Lakers head coach Mike Brown. Kevin Connolly is 38. Eva Mendes is 37. You got model Nikki Taylor at 37. And the reason I woke up this morning, singers Craig and Charlie Reed of the Proclaimers. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more. My favorite part's coming up. Here it comes.
I hope they just walk 1,000 miles.
That's the Ralph Shelby's beat.
Two great reasons to listen this half hour. One, more Beer Mug Red Carpet interviews, this time from Project X. He hasn't lost a step. It's not like he's getting better based on doing these interviews for the Kevin DeBean Show, right?
I don't know you. I'm an honest person. I have to say I don't know you.
That's coming up in about 50 minutes right now, though. How about tickets to Kevin and Bean's sold-out April Foolishness 2012, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater, Philippe Esparza, Brad Williams, Tim Minchin, Eddie If, Jim Jefferies, Bob Saget, Larry King, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, and the house band from Jimmy Kimmel Live. Our friends Cleto and the Cletones will all be there. Thank you for selling it out for us. Proceeds to the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU. You can call right now and win some tickets. What's this one called?
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into April Foolishness.
Punchline, 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 yeah.
Punchline, punchline, yeah is the name of the game. You just tell us the punchline, not the joke. We'll pick the funniest punchline, and then I guess that person will win tickets to the sold-out show. So let's just take them in order, starting with Molly on line one, and see what kind of punchline she's got for us.
Hey, Molly.
Hi, guys.
Hi. What's your punchline?
The punchline is bird farts.
Bird farts. All right. That does intrigue me about the joke. All right. Don't hang up on anybody. You hold on, Molly. We may get back to you. Let's try Shane next on line two.
Hey, Shane.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
What's the punchline?
All right. It doesn't matter what you call him. He's not coming.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like it. All right. Good. Thank you. You hang on. Ben is next. Hi, Ben. Thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. Punchline only, please.
Women's rights.
Okay.
That one has a lot of promise. Thank you, Ben.
All right.
Let's try Eddie, line four. Hi, Eddie. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck.
Hello. Thank you.
Okay. What's your punchline?
Is this me?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are you Eddie?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hello.
Did you notice that you're on the phone with us?
Yeah. All right. It's I don't know, but I didn't want to touch.
All right, you hold on.
Yeah, we'll get right back to you, Eddie. Casey is next. Hi, Casey. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. Give us your punchline.
Casey, hello.
Hello, Casey.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
A stick.
All right, no help from the audience. Let's try Sabian, line six. Hi, Sabian. Thanks for calling. What's your punchline?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Punchline is, I brought a box of tampons because it says I can go bike riding, swimming, and mountain climbing.
Ooh, that's intriguing.
Okay.
That is intriguing. All right, let's think about that one. Got a couple more. Daniel is up next. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for calling. What's your punchline?
How's it going, guys? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
The phone goes gring, gring, and I say, Jello.
All right.
And finally, Stephanie. Stephanie, line eight. What's your punchline? Good luck.
Hi. She's been sober for the last 3 weeks.
She's been sober for the last 3 weeks.
Wow. I want to hear all of these jokes.
No, you don't.
Are you hang on. So we got bird farts. We got doesn't matter what you call him. He's not coming. Women's rights. I don't know, but I want to touch it or don't want to touch it. A stick, which is very intriguing to me, by the way. I bought tampons so I can go climbing and biking. Phone goes green, green. I say Jello. She's been sober for the last 3 weeks. Which one do you like, Kevin? Which one would you prefer here?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking women's rights. Just because
how's it's so
that vague? Funny? How could that possibly be a punchline?
All right, so
but I also like a stick. I mean,
there's some good ones
like
here,
the
but
simple ones.
Yeah, I can only choose one. Lisa, what do you think? What are you into?
I kind of like phone goes green, green. I say Jello.
No, but that sounds like the whole joke to me.
Yeah,
just about.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'm with the monkey on women's rights. Let's go to Ben and see what his joke's all about on line three. Hi, Ben. You intrigued us with women's rights. I hope the joke is good.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's hear.
Do we reserve the right to not give him tickets if the joke is bad? Because we did tell him to only call with a great punchline, right? It doesn't
That's
have to be
correct.
A great joke. Yeah. So I think Ben may be the winner.
So you're saying he may have already won, even though he may have already won. Okay. All right.
Because I think we picked his punchline. But let's hear the joke anyway, Ben.
Do you want to hear a funny joke?
Yes.
That's the joke.
What?
Oh, the joke is, do you want to hear a funny joke? And they say yes, and then you go women's rights. Oh, what a disappointment. What a huge disappointment.
You think that's a funny joke, Ben?
What a terrible disappointment that was.
I've got a good backup.
Let's hear your backup, because that one has me spinning.
It's along the same line.
I'm trying to figure out how to not give you these tickets. Go ahead.
Why couldn't Helen Keller drive?
Tell us, Ben.
Because she's a woman.
Much better.
I see a theme in Ben's jokes, and I think I like it.
Okay. All right, Ben. People, Helen Keller was known for being blind.
Sorry, Lisa.
But that wasn't why she couldn't drive. It's just that she was a woman. Dude, you're going to have a great time seeing the great Larry King on stage, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, Eddie Iff, Tim Minchin, Jim Jeffries, Bob Saget, Brad Williams, Felipe Esparza. We'll see you on April 7th at the Gibson. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Punchline, punchline, punchline. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
What a great live band that is, Cage the Elephant. If you ever get a chance to see him, you should. And speaking of live music, how about K-Rock's countdown to Coachella? It's just 39 days away. And once again, this afternoon at 5, just be caller 106.7 and you'll win a pair of three-day passes. For more details, please go to krock.com. Ralph Garman out sick today. We anticipate he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, we are filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Let's start with a story we haven't talked about here today. Liam Neeson, who is a very intense actor. And by the way, hilarious based on his performance on the Ricky Gervais Show a couple of weeks ago, right?
Oh, my God, that was so funny.
Yeah.
Phenomenal sense of humor and a huge box office star. He's been in all sorts of great movies, and he is doing press around the world promoting his film that's already been a big hit in the United States called The Gray. This is about the guys who are in the wilderness of Alaska, I think, and they have to fight off a wolf pack, basically, after their plane crashes, right? Well, he told a German magazine that although he loves to be outside, he never leaves the house without a survival kit of a Swiss Army knife and a compass.
What?
Which, you know, for a guy who's probably, you know, living in L.A. and, you know, having his chauffeur take him to the Palm for dinner, doesn't seem like you necessarily are going to need a Swiss Army knife and a compass. But he says, when you get to your 60s, every day is like a fight for survival. And then he went on to talk about some of the training that he did for the Gray movie. He says he took cold showers to prepare himself for the extreme weather conditions where they would be filming. It was hell. I could never survive what happened to these guys, but I started with 20-second cold showers and then escalated from there until I ended up taking 7-minute cold showers.
No.
What the hell's wrong with him?
Oh, I would quit movies before I do that.
Look, Liam Neeson is a great actor. Just go out there and act. I don't think you have to put yourself through all of this physical pain in order to get psyched up for this role. But he says, you know, he knew he was going to be working in really, really cold weather. And he wanted to prepare his body for it. And I guess that's what he felt like he had to do. But I was surprised at that level of commitment to show up in a movie.
That's ridiculous. You know you're going to be cold when you're filming, so you're warm the rest of the time.
Exactly.
Right?
Don't be cold. Don't make more of your day colder.
Adele is in the news again today. She has an $11 million mansion that she will not spend the night alone in. She will not do it. Not alone. 25-acre parcel of ground in England. She has a gigantic 10-bedroom house, and she's afraid it's haunted. Makes too much noise.
I was thinking about this, and I have to say, a giant house like that by yourself would be creepy.
Well, I guess, but if you know that it's empty...
But it's just...
How creepy can it be?
It can be really creepy. You've never, like, sort of scared yourself walking through a dark house in the middle of the night?
No.
And think about 11.
I've heard noises. You know, the houses make noises that I've heard. And I go, I don't know what that was.
I would get scared.
But you know
what
I do? I just cover my head in the covers. So how bad can it be? That's my way of handling stuff. But she, apparently, according to the Sun magazine, will hire a female security guard to spend the night with her.
Yeah. Just someone to be alone.
Yeah.
Adele is going to be bigger than anyone who's trying to break into that house, right? She could certainly fight off an intruder. Just sit on him, right? Here's latest celebrity rehab news. We haven't talked about this yet today, but Alex O'Loughlin, who a lot of people like, he plays Steve McGarrett on CBS's Hawaii Five-0, has checked himself into rehab. Apparently, he had a recent shoulder injury. See if this sounds familiar. How many times have you heard this story? And then he got hooked on the prescription pain pills that he was taking to recover from the procedure.
Oh, yeah.
So he is expected to rejoin the cast once his rehab stint is finished, untold how many episodes he's going to be out of. Here's a guy who's not in rehab as much as he is dead. Ralph isn't here, but he would be upset if we did not mention his namesake, Ralph McQuarrie, who was hugely famous in sci-fi circles. He died Saturday in Berkeley, California, at the age of 82. He was the guy who worked for George Lucas back when the Star Wars movies were being made. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who came up with the designs for Darth Vader, for R2-D2, for C-3PO, for Chewbacca. George Lucas would go to him and kind of describe what the character was going to be like, and then he would turn that in, basically bring them to life and turn them into something. He also won an Oscar for his work that he did on the movie Cocoon in 1985. But the guy who essentially created R2-D2, C-3PO, Chewbacca, and Darth Vader had passed away over the weekend. That's that's quite a legacy to leave behind.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, back at the dating pool, according to this story. According to Star Magazine, you know, he split from Maria Shriver, and there's been a lot of talk about them getting back together and going to couples counseling and trying to make it work. Apparently, he was at a party. Let's see where it says. He was on a party, and he was hitting on model actress Estella Warren.
Oh, she's so good.
She is.
She's way
good.
She's
the only hot Estella.
She's way good.
She's so hot.
But she can't be. Arnold can't close that, right?
I hope.
I mean,
not.
even being Arnold, he's a big movie star and all that. But come
he's
on,
he's famous. But she has to think about seriously. Do you want him on top of you?
Ew.
No, you don't.
Oh, wow, pull back the curtain.
Agreed.
Bring it into focus. Agreed. I mean, look, he's famous and rich and all, but he's like 65 years old.
Plus,
right?
She's Estella Warren. She can get anyone she wants.
Can get anyone.
She doesn't need Arnold.
No.
So let's hope that doesn't work out.
Speaking of hot chicks, Lindsay Lohan back in the news this weekend. She returned to Saturday Night Live for her fourth hosting stint. It was not good. She does look pretty good until you hear her open her mouth and attempt to deliver dialogue, which I cannot think is going to be good news for her trying to get movie roles off of this performance. But we thought you might enjoy, if you missed any of it over the weekend, you might enjoy hearing a little bit of her poking fun of herself right at the beginning of the show as she came out for the monologue.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I know, right? I feel lucky and grateful to be here tonight, and that's why I really want to thank all of my friends at SNL who trusted me enough to have me back. You know, this studio feels like a home to me. Wait, so the alarm goes off if I leave the stage? I thought it was only if I left the studio.
So it went on like that, and then other cast members come out, and they, you know, pat her down for drugs. They shine a light into her eyes to see if she's stoned, and it was clever that they kind of, you know, use what's been going on with her personally in the monologue, but they didn't have really that much else to do with her for the rest of the show. So overall, it was a pretty disappointing
After that, there was just basically nothing else.
Afraid not.
No. Whitney Houston's 19-year-old daughter is going to do an interview. This Saturday, apparently, Oprah Winfrey is going to interview her. I don't know if she's doing a special series of interviews or how this is working, but she just decided that she wanted to interview her, and Whitney Houston's daughter said, yep, I'll do it. I can't imagine what she's going to say.
I can't either. Yeah. They also have Whitney's sister-in-law, who was her manager, and also Whitney's brother are both going to be on the show. And they're not going to want to talk about, you know,
the drugs.
What killed her, was the drugs. I mean, I'm sure it's just going to be an hour of, wow, wasn't Whitney awesome? And I don't know that anyone cares about that anymore, do they?
I don't know. That's a weird booking for me.
Yeah.
People will tune in, though, because it's Oprah. Hey, I mentioned a few minutes ago, I want to give you tickets to the red carpet premiere of Casa de Mi Padre. And by the way, Beer Mug, you may have to go to that. You may have to do interviews in Spanish. I think may be the next Beer Mug red carpet assignment for you.
No problem.
Your Spanish is probably about as good as Will Ferrell's. You've seen him kind of stumble his way through various Spanish language interviews promoting this movie.
Beer Mug's Spanish is just as good as his English.
The movie comes out on Friday, March 16th. We're going to let you see it 2 days earlier on the 14th at Grauman's Chinese Theater. If you want to go, why not? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through to see the new Will Ferrell movie. And I hope producer Dave is working on getting us Will Ferrell so we can talk about this, because it really does look hilarious.
But are we going to have to interview him in Spanish?
That may be what he's asking.
Because
I don't know.
You know that we don't do well with that.
Yes, not at all.
We've tried to learn Spanish 17 times and we can't do it. So he does like to stay in character, so I wouldn't doubt if he would come into the studio and talk only in Spanish. That would be fantastic. Willow Smith, Will and Jada Smith's kid, whips her hair back and forth. Apparently she's hanging out. She's 11 now. hanging out with 20-year-old rapper Tyler, the Creator.
That's trouble, by the way.
He's been getting in some trouble, his own self, by getting arrested. What's he doing hanging out with an 11-year-old?
That's creepy.
That's weird, right?
The only reason I can imagine that you would do that is if you were trying to hang out with Will Smith. Oh, yeah, I'll be friends with the daughter if that gets me into Will Smith's orbit, right?
But would it?
I don't know. I mean, I would hope so. I mean,
he's
I would
20,
imagine.
She's 11.
Right, but I would imagine a dad would be around to keep an eye on that.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. So he's just in his presence or whatever?
Yeah. So Tyler gets to hang out with Will Smith now.
I don't know.
And we talk about him, so now we hear his name.
It does seem weird, doesn't it? Celebrity birthdays today. How about our friend Penn Jillette, famous comedian, famous magician, celebrity apprentice contestant this current season. He is 57 years old today. Also guitarist John Frusciante, sometimes of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but not this week, turns 42, as does Mike Brown, coach of the Lakers, 42 years old today. From Entourage, Kevin Connolly is 38. Eva Mendez and Nikki Taylor, both unbelievably hot young ladies, turned 37 today. And actor Jake Lloyd. Speaking of George Lucas in the Star Wars universe, he was the star of the unfortunate Star Wars Episode I, Phantom Menace. He was the young Anakin Skywalker.
That's known as the bad one.
That's known as the worst of the franchise. He really took a lot of the blame for how bad that movie was because he just wasn't a good actor as a little boy. And I don't know if... I don't know if he grew up and stayed in movies or if he went on and did something else for his, you know, the rest of his life, but he is 23 years old today, and that's the showbiz beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning, hopefully, Ralph will be back. We also have a brand new program for you. We're going to ask you how you got over your fear of flying. We have a bunch of people that have been emailing about that, they have to fly a lot. And they're
a listener just took a new job and has to fly 10 times a year and is terrified and knows that other people have gone through this, so is looking for some advice on how to do it beyond what Kevin has, which is just drink heavily.
That's my answer to everything. Also tomorrow, we have Lana Del Rey in the studio. She's going to be performing live. From Southland, one of the best TV shows on. We have Sean Hennessy. We have Beer Mug Weigh-In, week three. So we can see, first he was up a couple of pounds. He's trying to lose 30 pounds in about 3 months. And he's the last week he was down 0.7. So
it's a good trend.
Not quite a pound, and said he was right on target. So that's coming up tomorrow as well. And we also have your tickets for April Foolishness.
Okay.
It's sold out. We'll give you your tickets tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.